aboard, you people. It is the Starship Rokon Show with Anna DeVlantis off for another day of broadcast insolence.
You know what I think? I think it's time the show, and I wasn't going to bring this up in front of the kids, but I might as well. We need a therapy pet. We need one for the show.
We had one.
We did?
Till Violetta killed it.
Yeah. No,
I tied it to a tree.
She did a good job with that.
Don't bring that up!
Me and John Fox thought it was a good idea.
Yeah, just tying therapy pets to trees.
I want to tell you something. I'm not leaving this show because I don't have any gigs left.
Maybe you can get us a monkey.
Yeah.
Coach.
Oh, too soon.
And those monkeys, that monkey, particular monkey that he had, a little scary. So
I'm down for
I was face to face with one of those things in the jungle last week.
I don't know how you survived.
I'm not making that up. I literally was face to face with that exact whatever the thing that thing is called, the man monkey
it's too human looking.
Yeah,
the man weird hair.
They're all called Gidget.
Yeah, that's oh
again.
Coach Fox walking around the forest just looking for Gidget.
I swear I tied him to this tree over here.
What happened to him?
Wait, so why do we need a therapy pet, Anna?
I just think it'd be good for us. You know, and I saw that story with United.
Just because you just got a puppy and you'd like us to take care of it during the
maybe,
day?
Maybe, sort of. Yeah.
Anna, you never took the fish home.
Violetta, be careful.
You guys watch my dog for 6-8 hours, maybe?
Well,
that'd be great.
The puppy phase is very difficult, by the way. It's just very difficult. And I thought, well, you know, if we could all share the responsibility, it might be nice. And Violetta did an excellent job, despite what you guys say, with that fish. No one knew that fish could live for 3 years, and it did.
Yeah. Well, I did it.
It was pretty impressive.
But thanks for bringing up that he's gone.
He had a good run.
He did.
Well, we found out that he was a scientific miracle because we would sometimes forget that the tank needed water and there was a crack in the tank.
That's funny. It was a vase.
The vase would need water. And a couple times he was actually breathing air for a weekend until people figured out how to do it.
He created a new species.
Yeah. I don't think anybody fed him when Violetta was in Serbia for like 2 months.
Who did I leave in charge?
I don't know, but it survived.
It was a very Darwinian experience, right?
Right.
This fish evolved.
Yeah. It
was almost growing legs
when it was trying to run out of the tank at the end of its life.
Terrible.
Yeah. Anyway, the point is that, we could have we need a therapy pet though.
Yeah. And not a peacock like the one that person tried to bring on the plane. Not that.
Maybe a baby goat. But we'd have to get rid of him when he gets big.
All right, let me tell you something.
We had a goat in studio.
Yes.
We did. That was very hard to get in.
We were doing another thing for the studio a couple of months ago, and the guy we were talking to at the building here said, you might not remember me, but I'm the guy who got the goat into your studio. Because apparently there was a whole rule at the Tribune Tower, and this may be going back to the goat, you know, the billy goat,
mm-hmm.
But no livestock is allowed in the Tribune Tower.
I think Orion actually was in charge of that something way back when. Yeah.
Well, isn't that the funniest thing? It's like, this is the home of Orion Samuelson, probably the most influential voice in agriculture broadcasting.
No question.
Right? And so...
And the most famous goat ever is like lived right below our building.
Right, at the Billy Goat Tavern, which is down literally in our basement, and sort of, close enough. And it just doesn't seem right.
Yeah, but we're going to have just a little baby goat. Haven't you seen the videos when they jump around?
They're so cute.
They jump, and they're smiling.
Yeah, but they grow up.
Well, we got to get rid of them before it grows.
No, I don't think the adult goats are bad. The adult goats are cute.
Kids, it's time we tie it to a tree.
Let me just get another one.
You guys are bad. Haven't you been to Lincoln Park Zoo? The adult goats are fun, too.
I like the mini horses.
Oh, a mini horse would be fun. Those things poop everywhere.
Yeah.
Do those get big or they stay small?
No, they stay small, but they do not. You can't, like... it takes a long time to like train them to go outside, and you have to have them they have to be able to go outside on their own.
Mm-hmm.
And we got to build a big door.
Yeah, and we're only in the street side studio for the next couple of months, so it's from the 18th floor that we're moving into.
Right.
It's gonna be that's it.
It's whose turn is it? Yeah, wouldn't be fun.
Just sort of have the thing stick its butt out the window.
We
and
could
then
have like a window
Dave
washer.
Dave Matthews style.
Yeah, and then people walking on Wacker
right
Drive.
Right into the river?
Or into the river.
The river wouldn't notice.
Depending on the wind.
We'll just put one of those cones that say, you know, falling.
Falling poop. falling mini horse poop. We won't be able to get the whole thing on the sign. People won't know what it means. Anyway, the point is, I understand your. I don't know what we do, though. I don't know what.
We need something.
We have to agree on an animal. I'm allergic to cats.
Oh.
Plus, I hate them, so
yeah,
that's not going to work out.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
A dog. I love dogs, but.
Guinea pigs, they kind of smell, though.
No.
They give off a baby turtle scent for being
turtles
such a small.
I had a turtle. And
did it burrow away and you lost it?
I threw up every 6 weeks like clockwork while I had it as a kid. Because when you play with it, they have like salmonella. It's like
You weren't supposed to lick it.
Yeah, that was a bad idea. And by the way, there was a snapping turtle did not like to be played with. So it was, worst pet ever for a kid. And it perished in that famous fire in my in my apartment when I was a little kid, and my mother wouldn't let the fire department in unless they took their boots off.
So it was your mom's fault.
Yeah,
got there too late.
What about another fish?
I was going to say, I think another fish or a pet rock to hear you guys talk.
Pet rock is probably good.
Might be good.
Yeah, birds could be loud.
No, hamster.
Maybe we could just sponsor a pet, and then we could just go see it whenever we want, but we don't actually have to.
No, I think.
What about a giraffe?
She's just trying to get us to.
I like the idea.
Like you really are a Russian princess, is what you are.
I want.
Because you imagine like the little giraffe from that commercial where the guy's got mini giraffes. He's
opulence.
An oligarch.
I has it.
I have mini giraffe. It's like Vladimir Putin.
Do you think he has one of those?
Can Donald Trump, I have better looking wife and mini giraffe you don't have.
Golden throne.
You know what I hear is a very good pet is a rat.
Oh,
a white rat.
White rats?
I have friends who have them. They love them.
Oh, they're so affectionate.
Then we could just keep it in a cage and look at it.
They always smell.
No,
let's just get a fish.
They don't smell. I'm going to have bad dreams with those red beady eyes.
Yes, they do have beady eyes.
They are sweet, though. The white lab rats are nice.
Sweet. Yeah. Listen to you.
I had a white lab rat. It was the only time I ever showed up in psychology class in college.
The fact that you made a connection with the lab rat.
It tells you a lot about my freshman year in college, yes. My only friend.
847 thinks we need a mini rabbit.
Okay, maybe. My best friend's rabbit, Bugsy, used to bite a lot. I think they're biters.
Bugsy, very, that's...
No, Bugsy went to the farm when we were in third grade.
Yeah. All right, we got to check in with Ben Bradley, the WGN-TV newsroom, coming up. But first, Judy, what's coming up at the bottom of the hour in the WGN radio news?
Ben, the two of us need no more.
There you go. If you want a pet rat, this is the song you have to play.
Found what we were looking for.
There you go.
Lovely.
There's a
okay,
young
that
Michael
was
Jackson.
Actually a real rat, though.
It was a series of rats.
Yeah, it was
Willard.
Like that was an alley rat from, Gary, Indiana. That wasn't what we're talking about.
It was the movie Willard about a kid who had no friends and decided just to raise rats, and then what happened? Oh, look out.
Well, I thought it was Michael Jackson himself who had a rat when he was little.
No, it's a movie.
We have another good suggestion, sea monkey.
Ben,
oh, I love sea monkeys.
Ben, we want a therapy pet for the show. what do you think we should do? Because did you see the story? I'm sure you guys did this story about the woman who tried to get on an airplane with a therapy peacock.
Yes.
Is that a peacock in your pants? Or are you just happy to see me?
No. What happens if the peacock's happy and spreads its feathers there mid-flight?
I think it's a mating thing, isn't it?
I think so.
I was trying to be tasteful by saying happy.
Yeah.
It was air quotes, which you can't see on the radio.
Right. Mm-hmm. They said the peacock was, 6 feet long or something anyway, from you go to the tail feathers to the head.
Yeah,
and
we had a
just
picture of it
work.
In baggage claim. It was a rather regal-looking bird.
Yeah. They are.
Yeah.
They are. I understand they're not friendly, though. But then again, what bird really is?
I've been down in Miami, and there's a place that has them kind of roaming the property, and I thought they were quite approachable.
They were nice to you?
Yeah. Now, granted, we were in a golf cart, so...
So they were afraid of being run over.
Hey, Ben, I hate to do a technical adjustment on the program right now, but could you pull your microphone up higher on your tie?
Yes, thank you. Yes. And for those of you who are joining us on the CLTV right now, you will see video and pictures of the peacock in question being, I was going to say walked
to
the airport, but at one point it's riding on its owner's shoulder there. I want to know.
It's like the Tonya Harding movie.
Yeah, do you put that through the X-ray machine,
or does
it walk
through
the magnetometer?
Apparently, this woman had called multiple times to try to have a sympathy case to say, "Hey, won't you let my peacock on the airplane?" Mm-hmm. And I guess she got a no, and still brought the peacock.
Yeah, I flew not too long ago, and there was a golden retriever just laying in the middle of the aisle on the airplane.
I was on a plane just over the holidays with a husky. There was a husky on board.
Yeah,
I don't. Dog.
I think people are taking advantage of this now.
You think?
Yeah, I think that's what's going on.
A therapy peacock.
They banned spiders on Delta. You can't have a therapy spider or snake anymore.
Yeah.
Oh, well, that's good news.
Yeah.
That's good news. On the flight back last week, it's an 11-hour flight. There was a woman carrying a little dog in the little bag, and I'm like, now what is going to happen here for 11 hours? Right?
How did it work out? Yeah.
I don't know.
Who was more antsy, the little dog in the bag?
It wasn't next to me. That's all I know. Yeah. As long as it wasn't next to me, I was okay.
Exactly.
I had 5-year-old twins next to me. I just want to tell you how much fun that was.
Would you have preferred the therapy pet?
I would have rather had the little Shih Tzu, pooping little droplets next to me instead. Little Shih Tzu kisses. Yeah. You know what I mean?
It's nice to see the airlines are finally cracking down on it, though, because I felt like some people were really taking advantage. Mm. You could just go online and order one of those vests for your animal in question and, you know, basically not have to put it in the belly of the plane.
I thought that I thought that there was a rule about checking the therapy dog situation. That's a really big deal.
Mm-hmm. It is a real thing, for sure.
But even beyond therapy, well, I'm sad, so my dog makes me happy, which is why everybody has a dog. Otherwise, you wouldn't let that thing in your house if it didn't make you happy, right?
Yeah, you wouldn't be picking up its poop if it didn't do something for you.
But dogs that are trained to do, whether it's a seeing eye dog or a seizure dog or any of those kinds of things, or just a dog that, you know, goes, you know, mushes through the snow to bring you your medicine, I don't know, whatever, Balto. That's a trained thing. That's months and months and months of training, right? And some dogs don't make it through. I mean, that's that. And then to all of a sudden I'm going to your cockapoo, you're going to make into a therapy dog because you go online and get the thing. That's just not right. People who do that are, there's a special place in doggy hell for people who do that.
The air travel equivalent of parking in a handicap spot.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah, that would make sense. I like that.
We get Jesse White to crack down on that, too.
I've got a couple of other things I got him to crack down on before we get to that.
Delta, though, I believe now is going to request some sort of signed verification from your veterinarian before you can bring your cockatoo.
That sort of makes sense, doesn't it?
This is Chicago. You can get a vet to do anything.
Yeah. I
also got you got a signed note and 500 tabs of ketamine, all for $50 cash.
That flight to Miami just got a lot better.
Yeah. All right. What do you got coming up on the WGN-TV News?
Well, our Tamon Bradley is down in Springfield. He was able to cover the state of the state, which, according to Governor Bruce Rauner, is one of readiness. I mean, you've heard the
for what?
State of
what
the
are we ready for?
We're state of readiness.
We're in a state of readiness. He said the state of our state is one of readiness.
Okay, for what?
I believe it's
we're ready.
To spring upon progress.
Yeah.
Once we break free of the shackles of political corruption, high taxes, etc.
Okay. I'm all over.
Did you see Mike Madigan's response, though? Because Governor Rauner tried to. Sound a fairly optimistic tone last night. After all, he is facing re-election. And Speaker Madigan said, for the good of our state, maybe it's better that the governor continues sitting on the sidelines and pretend he's not in charge. That way, serious leaders can continue working to move our state forward.
Okay.
Well, that went well.
Serious leaders? Really? Is that what he wants to call himself now, a serious leader?
How's the whole bipartisanship going?
Yeah. I would
not well.
I would refer to them as serious pocket liners is what I would do. Come on.
Well, did you see the new poll on the Democratic side? J.B. Pritzker less under 30% even after spending $10 million in this primary. And Daniel Biss, not all that far behind, was 17%. Kennedy 11.
Well, I think Daniel Biss, the commercials are good because he's like, I had no idea who he was. I should know these things, right? But it was like Daniel Biss. I was like, is he like a super conservative or super liberal? You have to want to, you know, when you,
he's
when
Bernie
you,
Sanders.
When you have a name like that, it's like, oh yeah, I know that guy's one of the wing nuts.
He's from Evanston. That should
right.
Be
so he's mean. Right. He's like a Bernie Sanders, super liberal guy, right? And he's going to give us. He's got it all worked out. Where everybody, you know, fully funded education, fully funded this, fully funded that. Okay, so
civil union supporting him. Mm-hmm.
What? How
and
much
a cockatoo therapy dog for everybody?
And when? And how much?
I'm in.
What are the taxes going to go up to? How is he? I've asked for him to join us on this program because I have a question. Now, in the new tax structure where you can't write off the state and local taxes,
right?
How high does he think he can raise the state income tax in Illinois before everybody, including all of us? I mean, Indiana's starting to look good. And never really exactly good, but you know what I mean.
I can't picture you in Indiana, Row.
I can't either.
Not that it's not a great state, because it is.
It's a beautiful spot.
I lived there for a while.
Depends on the spot.
Let's really be honest. A couple miles makes a difference.
Yeah, it does. There's some beautiful stuff in Indiana. Then there's, you know, I mean, there's some parts of Indiana, not so pretty.
Yeah. That's interesting. The headline out of the State of the State, though, is the governor said he was going to deliver a balanced budget proposal in 2 weeks. That caused Democrats to stand up and mock applaud because, of course, there's been a little issue down there with budgets for the last couple of years.
Yes, right. Unless, where's mine? That's kind of where I. That's everybody says down there. All right. Well,
this is
we wish
the Illinois way.
Yeah, I would like to go. I would like to go down there and fire everybody and start all over again.
Okay.
And as Biz, he looks like a guy who plays a politician in a movie. Like he does have that look. He's like the earnest kind of guy.
In his commercials, you know, he's making peanut butter and jelly or something for his kid.
Yeah.
There's an ad of J.B. Pritzker on in the corner, and he's just going about his business.
Mm-hmm.
Effective ad, he is getting some name recognition.
He certainly is.
Pointed out.
Yeah. Yeah. He certainly is.
Some traction.
Yeah. If he wins the primary, after all the money J.B. Pritzker spent, oh, my God.
Yeah.
If he wins a primary, and then it's I, you know, there's.
Well, and I think we learned that Joe Kennedy's a better speaker last night than his uncle running for governor here.
Yeah. Yeah, there's
Chris
no question about that.
Would love to have that type of exposure.
Right. Yeah. Although he did have spittle on his lip. And,
he had a chapstick issue.
You know, you can see it happening. We saw it with Ted Cruz. You remember the goober?
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Well, he said it went from dry mouth Rubio to drizzle mouth.
Yeah.
Yeah, drooly mouth.
Drooly
mouth. At one point, Micah just reached over to the monitor in the anchor desk yesterday, and she's like, I just want to wipe his lip. I know. I just want to wipe it.
It was interesting because it was a good speech, and you know, as a written speech, his delivery, because he's got that sort of the Kennedy thing where he halts, and he's got kind of the little voice going. He doesn't quite have command yet. And you're like, you're leaning in, you go, I think this is a good speech.
Right, you weren't sure.
He looked good.
Yeah, right. I mean, I knew that the ladies were going to,
He's a ginger.
He's a ginger Kennedy, which means that, you know, when you put the Wayfarers on, you put the sweater around his neck, and you put him at the jib of his sailboat. And the women are like, oh, my God, I love him. Remember, was that the one that was dating... what's her name?
Was he?
I'm sure
involved
at some point
with the
Taylor. What's her name?
Taylor Swift.
Who was the one that was dating Taylor Swift?
That's an interesting.
It wasn't him, but yeah, she was dating a Kennedy.
Yeah.
No, I don't think it was him.
Anyway, well, that's what they are. That's like the dream. Like every woman's dream is, I could be Jackie.
I like how he did it from the set of Grease too. It was sort of nice.
And he did have the little lock of hair kind of dangling.
Yeah, it was like Superman. Girl. It was like Superboy.
Yeah.
It was like, oh, look, all of a sudden, he's going to go in a phone booth. We don't have phone booths anymore. But if we did, he'd go in and he'd pop out. Hey, Superman, what are we going to do? Hold on, I'm going to use my cape to dry my mouth. All right, thank you very much, Ben.
Thanks,
we'll see you tonight. The WGN TV news coming your way at 4, 5, 6, 9, and 10 tonight. Mr. Skilling's going to join us in just a little bit, but we've got Judy standing by. WGN is 2 minutes.
1 year later, I am proud to report that the coalition to defeat ISIS has liberated very close to 100% of the territory just recently held by these killers in Iraq and in Syria and in other locations as well.
Of course, Bashar al-Assad is part of that coalition. And Vladimir Putin. I get it. You want ISIS to get crushed. I get it. Well, we all want that. There's some devil in the details. All right, here he is. Anthony Scaramucci is joining us, and I am sure that you watched this last night with great interest. And obviously, as a supporter of Donald Trump, so I'm assuming you still are, right? There's no headline here, right? You're still very much in his camp.
Very, very much. Of course, I'm not going to let the fact that I got fired break a two-decade friendship. I mean, it's politics is one thing, friendship and loyalty is another.
Can I ask you that? Can I just go back?
It's great to be on your show, though.
Great to have you. Thank you, and thank you for agreeing to do this too. But here's the thing. Now you've known him for 2 decades, but you did not support him in the primary. So how did that all work out? How did you end up moving over to him?
Well, you know, a quick story. I met with him the day after The Apprentice ended, so that finale, and we had breakfast. He said, "Hey, that's my last Apprentice. They want to re-sign me, but I'm running for president." I literally laughed. I said, "There's no way you're doing that." He said, no, I'm doing it." I said, you're not going to do it." I said, "You've got 19,000 square feet of space here in this Trump Tower, and there's 6,000 square feet of space in the White House residence. You're not going to do it. By the way, I've been on your plane. Your plane is unbelievable. Why do you want to carry the press around?" And so forth. No, I'm going to fix the country's problems. I'm running for president. So I didn't believe him. So I said, "Listen, I'm already tied into Governor Scott Walker from Wisconsin. He's a good friend of mine. I'm his finance chair with Todd Ricketts, who was just named the RNC chair, finance chair." I said, I'm going to work for Scott." He said, "Well, if I beat Scott, will you join me?" I said, "Well, actually, I can't because I have an agreement with some of my buddies that I would go over to Jeb Bush." He says, "Okay, I like the fact that you're a loyal guy. If I beat Scott and Jeb, will you join me?" And I said, "Yes. If you beat Scott and Jeb, then I'll join you." And so I did. And I'm a loyal guy, you know, and I'm sure you've got a lot of your viewers that grew up in a neighborhood similar to my neighborhood. And so, you know, you stick close to your friends. And so, but I didn't take him seriously in the beginning. And the Democrats obviously didn't take him seriously. And that's why he won.
Well, for his first year in, I mean, State of the Union, I know we want to get to that aside. But is the President Trump 1 year in different than the businessman Trump that you knew before? Have you seen anything evolve in this year?
Well, you know, I think he said something very telling, Ro, at the anchor meeting at lunch. What he basically said was that in business, you can be cunning and ruthless, and it's a vicious competition. But in government, you actually have to have a heart and some compassion because the decisions that you're making are affecting millions of people. And I think it was very revelatory of what his personality is really like. I think the real danger for the Democrats right now is if they get another episode like they got 3 weeks ago with the 55 minutes, they're showing the president in his full glory for 55 minutes unfiltered on television, and all of a sudden you're catching him for who he really is, not the disfigurement of these stupid tabloid books or not the comments that people are running out to microphones saying that he's saying, but you're actually seeing him for who he is.
Well, wait, and Anthony, wait. Let's be fair about that. Yeah, we were all, as a matter of fact, we applauded that moment that you're talking about when he was sitting there as negotiating a deal with a bipartisan coalition of lawmakers around him in the White House. Yeah. That was a very impressive moment. And I think a lot of people thought that was a good thing. Well, but he turned his position around 180 degrees within 36 hours of that meeting. So this isn't really about this is what he think he said or he didn't say. That deal clearly fell apart. Right. And that was I think there are people, and you know this, you talked about this in your, your star bright moment that you had, as the communications director for the White House. There was this moment where I think you realize, because you've been around a lot, you've seen retail politics done, you know, at street levels. You're talking about from like neighborhoods where you grew up, but you also have seen how to shape a message so that you sell it to a broad audience. And in this case, don't you think that the president would be better off by being a little more, not necessarily even politically conciliatory, but just showing off the heart piece? But he doesn't like to do that because immediately, as soon as he does it and says, "I want to, you know, pathway to citizenship," a bunch of people on his right get in there and start banging him on the head, go, "You can't do that, you can't do that, you can't do that." And he emotionally responds to that.
Well, I mean, you know, the specific thing that you're referring to, I think, had more to do with the proceeds related to the wall. You know, he wanted more than what Schumer was asking for. So that's, in my opinion, that's why he reversed his position. I know it's been painted a lot of different ways in the media, but you are bringing up something that I totally agree with. I think that the one problem that the White House has had since inception is something that Steve Bannon, where in February of last year, he said he was declaring war on the media. So that would include the two of you guys. And he's basically saying that the media is the opposition party, and we have a declaration of war issued here from the White House. That was a terrible, terrible thing to do, because that sets the president up in a way that's totally unfair to him. And now you're unifying the media against the White House. I don't know historically how any president could declare war on the media and win that war. And so one of the things I tried to do, and again, I was only there for 11 days, but the first move that I made was I turned the lights and cameras back on in the press room. The second move I made, and from the press podium that day that my position was announced, I elucidated what I wanted to do, which was to calm down the rhetoric, de-escalate the war, effectively declare an armistice. It's okay to have a confrontational relationship with the media if you have to, or an adversarial one, but let's not have a war declaration. And so what's happened now is that every time the president moves in the direction that you're talking about, talk about like the heart move. Every time he moves in the heart move, you've got guys on his right like Breitbart and some of these nonsensical guys that are lighting him up. Mm-hmm. The American people, probably, I don't know you guys, but I'm a fairly political centrist in my mind. I'm probably right-leaning on a few things, and I'm probably way to the left on things like social issues. But at the end of the day, 86% of the American population wants a solution that includes citizenship for the Dreamers. I'm in that camp, so I'm not in the 14%.
So, but with Anthony Scaramucci, without jumping, yep, you know, to the specifics of this, just let's go back to this notion. Do you still have influence with the president? Do you still have influence in that press shop in any way, shape, or form? And do you think a message like yours, because I remember that was the one thing about your moment there that I was excited about, because I thought, oh, here's a guy who has an opportunity, because you get it. You understand that there's an opportunity here. If the president, all he's got to do is put down the Twitter machine and say a couple nice things about some people, which is what every president has done basically since George frickin' Washington. And then the next thing you know, his approval ratings are going to go up. It's the negative tone. It's the sniping. It's the mean side of him, the bully side of him, that's doing him in terms of his popularity. Because he's got good stories to tell, Anthony Scaramucci. You know it.
Yeah, listen, in the economic situation and the policies that he's put in place,
yes,
and the executive
those are good
orders,
stories,
and the movement towards deregulation, and
nah,
also
I'm not sure about that, but yeah, okay. But there's been, everything else is good. The markets are good.
Let me say it to you this way, okay? You can't overregulate the society, and you can't underregulate the society.
Yeah, but without getting caught in the specifics, that drilling thing offshore, then Florida gets its own, gets cut out of it. I mean, it's, come on.
Anthony,
some of that. So
do you still talk?
You
to the president?
That were cut out of Obamacare, and you had unions that were cut out of Obamacare. Unfortunately, politics works like that in our country and every country.
Anthony,
and I'm sure it works like that in the city of Chicago.
Oh, no, we're perfect here.
We've got a lot of problems here.
I'm sure.
Anthony, do you still talk with the president? Are you having conversation with him? When will you be part of a reelection campaign? Will you rejoin him in some way, shape, or form?
You know, listen, I certainly, you know, I'm a big supporter, obviously, and I'm close to the family, and I would certainly like to help him on the reelection campaign. I don't see any way for me to return to the White House, frankly. So people that talk about that, I think, is nonsensical. But I certainly will be as supportive as I can after the Steve Bannon blow up, where take out the expletives of, you know, that guy catching me on a recording and me thinking it was off the record. I accurately identify.
You weren't wrong.
Observational talent perspective, what he was doing, how he was doing it, and how destructive it was.
Yeah,
right?
You weren't wrong.
And
So at the
end of the day, you know, we had a conversation related to that. I went back on the air to support him in the early part of January. And if he wants me on the air, I'll be on the air.
Are you being supported by the White House in that? Are you being? Does the White House consider you to be a surrogate?
I'm not an official surrogate, so I'm not. I mean, I do get the email briefings, and I do talk to Hope and Sarah from time to time, and I talk to the president from time to time. But again, I'm not one of these guys going to exaggerate my relationship with the president and tell you, oh yeah, I'm on the phone with the guy every day. I have probably talked to President Trump since my firing 4, possibly 5 times. I haven't talked to him that much, but when I do talk to him, it's meaningful. And obviously, I talk to his children a lot. And listen, I'm a supporter, and I think by and large, he's done a great job. But I will cede the comments that you're making. You have to marry the content with style. And if you put him in a style box that you're describing, not only will the approval rating go up, it'll be very hard for them to shoot at him.
Yeah.
They're shooting at him on style. They're not shooting on him based on the economic data.
No,
they're not
on
shooting
substance.
On him based on. They're not shooting on him on North Korea. You know, those Democrats that have been in those briefings know that a lot of the things that he has done with his team has gotten the North and South Koreans back to the negotiating table. They're marching together in the Winter Olympics under a unified flag. And there were other presidents that couldn't get that done. He did get that done. So they can't shoot on him on those levels. They are hitting him on style, and it'll be up to him. He's going to be 72 in June. These habits are ingrained in his personality to counterpunch people that are hitting him. It'll be up to him if he wants to make that style change or not.
All right. Anthony Scaramucci, I hope we can do this again. Thank you so much for being
with
us. Really appreciate it.
Real honor. I love the city of Chicago, and congratulations on the Cubs. Okay, I was, that was
thanks.
Awesome.
Thank you. And we're going to live on that for about a decade, so
we
don't
do
you
that
worry
here.
About it.
We do that on those championships.
I think Houston might be the world champions, but whatever.
Plus years, you got to savor it. God bless.
For sure. God bless. Thanks, man.
Thanks, Anthony.
All right, Anthony Scaramucci, the Mooch. He was on the loose right there. All right, right now, Judy, what's coming up at the top of the hour? Tom Skilling joins us right now on the WGN show of the afternoon with the Rokon and the Anna DeVlantis.
Yes.
Love that music, guys. It sounds like we're about ready to launch into a science fiction session or something like that.
I was going to ask you about that. Did you get to see the super blue blood moon?
I did. Yes, yes.
Did you wake up? Did you do that?
Well, yes, I did.
My God. Who would do something like that?
I did. I did the same thing for like a sleepy second. I saw it and then went back to bed.
Went back to bed for another hour. Me too, Anna.
They say people woke up more emotional and hungry because of this particular moon.
I couldn't sleep last night. I woke up in a deep sweat. I'm like, what's happening to me? It must have been the moon.
And I ate pizza for breakfast. So there you go.
I slept like a baby.
Well, first time in 150 years we've seen that. Violetta, I'm sorry, I had you on speed dial. I was going to wake you up. I wake up Micah Mater when we change our clocks, you know, to remind her to do
that's
that.
That's
and
nice
I told her
you.
I told her I would do that today for the. But it's funny, I always get her answering machine.
Yeah.
I was actually just getting home, Tom. It was. I should have waited
look
up.
At you. Oh, wow.
4:40 in the morning.
Yeah, Tuesday night. She's out there partying.
Marvelous news, you know. Right.
Very interesting.
Yeah, that was. Well, we'll not see another one till 2048. So
it didn't look burnt red to me, though, like it was supposed to look. It looked more white when I was looking at it.
Yeah, we had a little haze in the air and a little cloud cover. So, but it made for some interesting shots. You know, it's interesting. Some folks sent me on Facebook some pictures from other places in the country. Mm-hmm. And they sent the most beautiful shot from out by Deer Valley in Utah in the Wasatch Range there.
Mm-hmm.
And it's so pretty to see the full moon illuminating the snow-capped mountains at night. It's really quite a scene. And somebody else checked in from Childress, Texas, and sent a shot along. And they said, we heard that you might have cloud cover, so if you missed it, here it is, as we saw it right here where we didn't have cloud cover. So I thought that was kind of thoughtful.
That is thoughtful.
But,
get
to
see that.
Absolutely.
Well, they say the full moon and the light that it projects interrupts sleep patterns, so that deep sleep is kind of hard to do.
Well, you know,
and hard to get.
That's interesting, because we've always wondered what there's no physical connection, you would think, that we know of, in terms of a full moon and, you know, strange behavior. But people always attribute that to that. And I've always wondered if it had something to do with the light, you know, and maybe it affects some folks. I mean, look at Roe and the
very light sensitive.
The impact
look at
on
very light
of the shorter days, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. There's a question that there's there is a thing. I grew up in Chicago in the city.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And as did Anna. And
yes.
I'd never really seen the stars before.
No.
And then I went to college in rural Ohio.
Yeah.
And I remember the first time I saw a full moon. Honest to God, like a full, one of those big, like, you know, super moons, full super moon.
Mm-hmm.
And we're driving out, you know, when you left the little college town, there was farmland. and you and it lit up the farmland like the sun.
I know.
And I'm like, oh my, well, I've been missing this my whole life.
Really cool.
Right?
I know.
That you get that kind of, now it's only one night a month. It's not enough to really do it. But in the winter it was a very nice kind of feeling. You don't in the city you never get the sense of what's really going on in this in the night sky, which is really amazing when you get to go to a place where you get to see the stars.
Well, you know, Ro, I've always thought, too, in terms of severe weather, limited visibility down in the canyons, you know, downtown between the buildings. Mm-hmm. I've often thought that folks don't fully appreciate or see the severe weather coming in because, you know, the horizon is blocked by the buildings. So there are a lot
That's why we rely on you, Tom. That's what you're there for. I don't need to look to the southwest.
I've got a full function.
Yeah, you know, to see what's... Oh, look at it.
It's right.
Anti-M.
There's a funnel cloud.
Yeah, right. No, I'm not going to do that. This is the whole point.
I know.
Growing up in an apartment building, and you know, you just look across the street and you see another apartment building.
Yeah.
So it was like a light canyon that I grew up in. So the sun, this might be why I'm so crazy, because there was never direct sunlight in my apartment until I was like 12 years old. We moved and there was more light, but it was always dark.
Well, that's interesting. Yeah. I mean, it's an entirely different environment, the urban versus the rural environment.
Yes. I know. I feel sorry for myself. I didn't have a front yard either.
Oh, sorry, Ro. No.
Wow.
You grew up in the Gold Coast.
Ro Strong, excuse me. Excuse me. I grew up in the mean streets of Streeterville. That is different.
Excuse me.
Boy, this is a midlife crisis looking back on what you missed or something like that?
What are we going to blame? Sure. What can we blame in our childhood?
I'm blaming the lack of sunlight.
Well.
And my dead turtle.
Oh, gosh. Oh. I had to bring that one up. I thought he got you sick all the time.
He did, but he still was, you know. But he still was.
He probably needed more sunlight.
Was it a little turtle?
No, it was a snapping turtle. Wow. They told me way too late.
Where did you get that?
My dad picked it up on the road.
Oh.
I, honest to God, brought it home. My mother lost her poop. But it lived in the bathtub in my you know, there was the kids' bathroom.
Right.
You know, he lived in the bathtub there.
You know, we would find turtles sometimes. They'd crawl into the yard, and we'd create these nice little boxes with grass that we put in there for it to eat and all the rest. And we'd, you know, say goodnight to it, go to bed, and the next morning it was gone. And my mother finally came clean. She said she couldn't stand these little creatures being boxed up in our garage, so she let them go at night. And I thought that was actually probably not a bad way to handle it.
Oh, that's a very nice way to handle it, actually. In other words, she was throwing them in the garbage and then didn't want to tell little Tom.
No, they didn't. Yeah. No, she went out and took them and let them loose so that they could crawl off into the, you know, brush or woods, wherever they go.
It is still a bit of a great mystery, because I've heard different stories about what happened to my turtle.
Oh, well, how could your turtle get out of an 18th floor high rise?
Well, it was 16th. Thank you. And the 16th floor, this all goes back to, the story goes like this. It was a blustery March night, and I had to take a bath in my parents' bathroom as opposed to mine, because the turtle lived in the bathroom, right?
So you couldn't bathe with your turtle?
Couldn't bathe with the turtle. So I go, and we had just changed the light bulb and the little lamp that shines down on the turtle. Mm-hmm. I actually had changed the light bulb on that. And apparently it was the wrong kind of light bulb, because as I was coming back out to go back into my room, and I saw the smoke billowing out of the bathroom below the door, you know, like, and I was like, uh-oh. So I ran out and got my mom. And I put on a little astronaut suit because I was, you know, at that point kind of naked because, you know, I was like 8 years old or whatever it was.
Yeah.
And so I put on my little, I had a little like onesie astronaut suit, and I go running out. My mom says, you know, just get on the elevator, go down to a friend's, you know, we had friends in the building, go down to their apartment and I'll handle this. And the next thing you know, the fire department shows up, and it was a sleety night, and she puts her hands on the door. She goes, "You cannot come in here to put out the fire until you take your boots off."
Oh gosh.
Well, I can see why your mother might have been moderately upset by the fact you had a turtle in your bathtub.
I know, she was not happy about that whole thing. My dad was out.
How long was it in your bathtub?
Like 2 years. My dad was not home at the time. And so I think she was like, she might I don't know exactly what happened. The fire captain moved her out of the way or something. But they got in there. They put the thing out. And then I didn't go back upstairs. I spent the night down in, you know, our neighbor's apartment. Mm-hmm. And when I came back up, they had to tell me, you know, Speedy is gone. He's no longer with
Speedy.
Us.
I Speedy. I love the name. That's a good name for a turtle.
Very
Speedy.
Ironic.
And I've heard many different stories. One, I heard that, well, we took him down to the lake. We only lived a couple blocks away from the lake. Down to the lake, and we let him go in the lake. And that I kind of like that story.
Yeah,
even though
I do too.
Would have fallen right to the bottom of the lake and died, but that would have been a separate issue. And then there was another one. Well, he didn't make it through. But I thought for years, a conspiracy here, because a turtle can hold its breath for like an hour.
Oh, can it?
Right, yeah, because it gets in the water and it becomes a rock in the
I
water.
I know they get incredibly. They live to some of these turtles.
Yeah, they'd be like 100 and something years. Yeah,
yeah. Not Speedy.
I mean, who would actually know? Who would know how old they are? Because who would live longer? But anyway, the point is that this thing would live, right? Would live in the water, so that wouldn't really been a problem. It could have survived the smoke. There wasn't a heat in this fire. It wasn't fire. It was a smoke fire.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
And
when he was in the bathtub too, you would think.
Right,
okay.
And he was. I think he was fine. And then there was a conspiracy that the janitor for the building
took
Speedy
involved
and
in
threw
this?
Him down the garbage chute. See? Because he was the cause of the fire.
That I would not want to absorb that. That would give me nightmares.
I still have the idea of my little turtle being thrown down the fire, 16 floors down a chute.
You know, this explains any traumas that we've observed in you. Yes. This would be a terrible thing.
That doesn't
thing
even
to
begin to cover it, pal.
I know.
630 Speedy must have been a ninja turtle. They are known to leap 20 stories.
Now, let me ask you something.
So maybe that was it.
As a city kid, did you ever catch lightning bugs? Do they have lightning? See,
no. I did. I caught encephalitis bugs in the city.
Did you in the city?
Yeah, I used to catch them too.
Sure.
See, they've disappeared or something.
They have.
As a little kid, I used to love to see the lightning bolts bugs on a warm summer night, you know, and it doesn't seem like we see as many of them. But I was just wondering, city versus rural and turtles versus
there was
bathtub turtles and all.
I had a little dog walking service in the building for a while. I would just, because my parents didn't want me to have a dog.
That's nice. You walked him outside the building.
But it's not inside the building. It's up and down the hallway. Come on. This is Mrs. Goldfarb's
Don't worry, I'll pick
apartment.
Up. I'll pick
go
up.
Go ahead. Just go ahead. You got to pee on the door.
Let me tell you something. You must have been a popular guy because we have a lady down the hall from us, Melody, who walks our dogs and helps out at times when all of us are busy. And, I can't tell you how helpful that is.
Yeah.
That really is marvelous. So you really performed service.
Well, this was after Speedy Speedy died.
Speedy.
And this is in honor of Speedy. I started a dog walking because I wanted a pet. And there was like, no. This is the theme of the show today is we need a pet.
We need a therapy pet.
Yes.
It just would help us.
Yeah there was an article I heard you talking about this a week and a half ago that, Delta Airlines, I think, is cutting back on dogs getting in. You've got to now prove that they're really
Delta,
therapy dogs.
And Delta's saying some of these unusual pets, like the spiders are not allowed to be therapy pets. And the snakes.
Peacock. There was a therapy peacock.
Yeah.
Think we should get?
What's that?
What kind of animal do you think we should get?
Violetta, you're asking me?
Yeah.
I love the therapy dog idea. I think that's kind of cool, but I always worry, you never know about how dogs will react to certain folks and all. And
you're saying the dog's not going to like us.
Well, it might not like other people there, and that would make me very uncomfortable if my dog was, creating some problems.
It was trying to bite Anthony Scaramucci. That would be its own problem.
Know, I'm glad you asked him. I see him appearing an awful lot on shows, and I wonder, what's the deal here? Is this an official capacity or something like that? But that was a good question to ask.
Yeah,
are you speaking on behalf of the administration?
Yeah, he's not, actually. But I don't exactly know. But at least he ceded to me that the president acting like a jag isn't helping him. Yeah. I think that's
interesting.
I think we got that out of him, and that was nice.
Yes.
All right, so back to this dog here thing for a second. We've had therapy dogs in the studio, and as Anna will attest, therapy dogs always come up to me and try to, they grab my hand and try to sit me down.
Or they just plant themselves at your feet.
Yeah.
Yes.
I had one tackle me and try to and sit on me thinking I was having a seizure. It was like...
this guy needs help.
Yeah. I don't know what's going on here.
You know, whenever I see a dog, I want to pet it. And it's really confusing in the airports now because they have these drug-sniffing dogs.
Yeah.
And they tell you there can't be... Yeah, that's right.
You know,
easy, Fido.
I got caught that way because I'm a dog lover like you, Tom. And I went over when I was traveling back from Mexico... No, it wasn't one of those dogs. It was like a cute little beagle. And I went over to it to pet it and said, oh, what a cute little dog. And the dog then took its nose and planted itself on my luggage. Oh, like, put its nose and did that pointing thing. And then they said, I don't know what to do. I know you called the dog over, but we got to bring you through the special line.
Did you go through?
Yes, I did. I'm like, sure, I will. But I don't know. I called the dog over because I wanted to pet it. And then they put me through the special line. I had to go get my luggage searched. It was fine, but... It's kind of interesting.
Anna, you're the last person I would suspect.
Well, but I was traveling alone, coming back from Mexico, because I didn't have as much vacation time as the friends I was with, so I took off. So, you know, I kind of fit the profile, I suppose, anyway. Of the, but it just it was just funny, because my love of dogs got me in trouble there.
Yeah, and now they tell you, you're not even supposed to touch them, right? Because they're afraid.
It screws up their sniffing capability.
Oh, yeah.
Or else it gets them to trust you, strangers, and I guess they, at some level, don't want them to trust strangers. So they want them to be investigative.
Yeah, that makes sense.
We're not paying you to make friends.
That's right.
They're not working when they're just getting pets.
Maybe we should get a former army dog, one of those things.
Right.
You know, like the ones that are like totally tuned up.
They've into seen
like
everything.
Some sort of like, you know, like jumping out of airplanes and stuff,
uh-huh.
and then bring it in here, and it will probably kill me. It'll probably rip out my throat.
Yeah. They'll look at you and say, Al Qaeda. Get on me. You know,
hey, I'm good guy. Hey, down! Down!
Leave Bro alone.
Wow.
Have you ever brought any of your pets to the WGN studios?
No. And in fact, you know, it's funny because one of our reporters brought one in, and Bill Snyder, my producer, went over to pet it, and they bit him. And rather badly, too. And it surprised the reporter who didn't know this dog would do it or something like that. So a memo went out that point saying no pets in the building. So.
We used to have a general manager in radio years ago at the other station that loved his dog so much. It was a golden, or no, I,
Labrador?
It was a retriever lab.
Mm-hmm. Pretty dog.
Love those.
Yes.
And it was, no, I'm sorry, Irish Setter. And it was a big, you know, like because they got that flowy hair. Beautiful dog.
They are. But we've got one at home. That's a Sean has
a setter. But he would carry it around. Pretty. They're thinner than they're lighter than you think because they're
got a lot of fur, a lot of hair,
right?
Mm-hmm. And they're very friendly.
Mm-hmm. Well, he would carry it around like a baby, and you know, in the building, and he was the general manager, so there was nothing we could do about it. But the thing is, and he would let it go. Every once in a while, we'd be sitting in the studio, he'd open up the door, and the thing would come running around in the studio, and then run back out. And it would, but the problem is, it did have a tendency to want to poop everywhere,
is a bit of a problem.
Yeah, and it did it like in front of the building,
mm-hmm.
and at 190 North State, the TV general manager at that time,
not a good idea,
was Joe Ahern, who was everything had to be like Joe Ahern is a very stylish guy,
yes,
absolutely, down to the socks and shoes,
right?
Very nice. Yes.
Didn't wanted everything to be spit polished clean everywhere, mm-hmm. and then all of a sudden there was like dog poop on the ABC logo in front of the building. So they said that the dogs were no longer allowed.
I've got to come down on Joe's side on that one. Yeah. I think. That was a
very smart move.
Yes,
move on Joey Hearn's part. Yeah.
It was, yes.
All right. Well, we already heard your weather right before we had you on. It's going to get colder, and we got some snow over the weekend. Is it an accumulator, though?
It could be a couple inches on it.
All right.
Late Saturday night.
February 1st is my national holiday, which tells me that we've basically broken the back of winter.
It is true.
I mean,
we gain the average temperature goes from 33 to 40 during the month. We pick up another hour of daylight.
Yep.
It is the fourth fastest warming month. March is the fastest warming month.
Yeah, so we're good.
We're moving in the right direction, bro. In your direction. Yes.
Thank you. We're moving toward resolution here, and that's all we're trying to do. Thank you, Tom.
All right, bro.
Anna,
see you later, guys.
Judy, what's coming up in the WGN newsroom at the bottom of the hour? All right, I just want to say that in our search for a therapy pet...
For the show?
I just received an offer. One of our friends is trying to sell us her...
Sell us?
Yeah, that's what she said. She wants WGN to buy the red-footed tortoise that they have.
Oh.
Well, you can afford it.
She has spunk. She picked up her shell and ran across our busy street once. She lifts those legs and gets moving fast. She's just a space filler.
What's the catch?
And the kids have no interest.
Oh, okay. That's a catch.
She sounds expensive.
Is it big?
Take everything, the cage, the heat lamp. What do you think, Violetta? It's cute.
Send us a pic.
I got the pic right
here.
Oh,
you do? Mm-hmm.
They live for a very long time, though. That's that's a major responsibility that I'm not sure we're ready for.
Row, you could use the heat lamp.
Yes, I could.
You could double as your, your light issues.
You and the tortoise.
Oh, I've noticed here there is a, there's a picture of the cage here.
Mm-hmm.
And the, it's not a small tortoise.
Well, maybe we should just try it out.
Well, where are we going to put it? In the traffic booth?
Not in the newsroom.
Yeah, definitely not in the sports office, that's for sure.
Nobody asked you guys to put it in there. I would love to have a tortoise in here.
Okay, perfect.
They smell?
How does Mary Van de Ven feel about
I was just going to ask. Do you think, like, Mary's first day back, you know, after the tortoise is in there,
why do we have a tortoise in here? Yeah. I could just,
They're working on this. I'm going to do some negotiating here.
We'll entertain some other offers while we're considering
that. We'll take
this
it on a rent, you know, we just take it for a day or two.
Turtle, we like rent it. That's a good idea.
Yeah.
Can we get it for 30 days?
Yeah.
That's a lot. Three days.
We have a United States congressman standing by right now. Who's listening to all of this
while this is going on.
Congressman Raja, would you like a tortoise? We're looking for a therapy pet here, and we're stocked full of congressmen. We've got plenty of those. We need a pet, and I don't know quite what to do here.
Mm-hmm. Can I get back to you on that?
Yeah. Why don't you do that? All right. Now there's so many things going on in Washington here. I don't even know where to begin. It appears now that the Republican memo is going to be coming out at any minute, we're told, that this 3.5-page memo that is going to be a pretty strong indictment of behavior at the FBI, specifically as it pertains to potentially Andrew McCabe, who was the deputy director, and some of the other folks involved. Now, while that's all happening, the FBI has come out and said, listen, this is the releasing this memo was a mistake. And CNN now has a story that, and I love this. This is talk about political jujitsu.
Mm-hmm.
That the guy who the FBI superior who was removed from the Russia investigation because he had that text exchange with his girlfriend. Mm-hmm. That guy actually co-authored a memo to reopen the Hillary Clinton email investigation. So it wasn't like he was like all for Clinton. He was going after her too, which gives lie to this. Now, I know you're relatively new to Washington, but what do you make, and you're a Democrat, so you're going to have a little different take on all this, but what do you make of this fight that the executive branch is having with its own Justice Department and FBI?
It's bizarre. So I did review the Nunes memo as well as the minority memo. The memo that was written by the ranking member and the Democratic minority on the House Intelligence Committee. I got to tell you, Rowan, Anna, that this Nunes memo, it's a political document. It's not some kind of well-formulated document that you think would come from the Intelligence Committee. It really looks like something that should be on RNC or Republican National Committee letterhead. And that is what I think is most worrisome about this document. The FBI yesterday pointed out that it omits various material facts, which basically call into question the accuracy of its conclusions. And I would have to agree after having looked at this memo several times now.
So do you think, the public has something to gain given the questions here surrounding these two FBI agents and their texts and what happened over there and the resignation of several members of the FBI? Is the public served by seeing both of these memos, would you say, if we get to weigh them both and understand maybe more about what happened?
Good point. I think so, but as long as, you know, the FBI and the Department of Justice have a chance to, you know, redact portions that we don't want our enemies to see, that would give away, you know, information about sources and methods of intelligence gathering. But yeah, either, you know, we should not disclose any of this information. That is, we should not disclose either of the memos, or we should disclose both, because you really need to see both to understand what's been omitted in the Nunes memo.
Let's just face it.
Basically supports the FISA warrant.
Well, I think the Democratic memo is going to work its way out one way or the other.
Sure.
It's just not going to come out concurrently with the Republican memo is going to be able to live in the media universe for 4 or 5 days before the Democratic one comes out. Will people still be interested in what the contents of that are? Although I think that there's going to be a lot of... there's going to be a lot of, pardon the expression, impeachment of the Republican memo by Democrats and by others who are saying that, like what you just said, it's a political document and here are the things that are wrong with it. The issue
I
have
here,
yeah, go ahead.
Can I just say one thing, Ro? It's just the one thing that I think your listeners may already understand this, but, you know, when you apply for these warrants from the FISA court, you present numerous, you know, pieces of evidence to support that application for a FISA warrant. That is a warrant to basically surveil either foreign entities or people who are thought to be working or spying or coordinating their activities with foreign entities. And so when you just choose one or two pieces of those pieces of information and you say that those are somehow questionable, but then you omit mention of all the other evidence that supports the FISA warrant, I think that's why the FBI is saying that this memo is so misleading.
I want to know what Devin Nunes and some of the other Republicans who are staking their political careers on Carter Page, which is essentially what this is. They are staking their political careers on the fact and on the hope that Carter Page does not get indicted at the end of this. And that is, or plead guilty and cooperate. And that's, and you know, and I would say that there's a considerable percentage chance that, not that I'm a betting man, Raja, but if I were, I think it's 2-1 that he gets, that something happens to him here in a legal sense. And that when that happens, and they have bet that this whole thing, and they, you know, they want to keep making the charges. This is all political. When the fact is a matter, these people didn't support Donald Trump, and they believed, as everybody now knows, that the Russians were involved in this, and that they were trying to co-opt some of the folks around Donald Trump. Clearly, they tried to co-opt the kids, and they tried to co-opt the people in that meeting, right, when they were talking about Russian adoption. That's really about the sanctions, and the fact that the White House did not impose the sanctions on Monday when the time was up to do it. It seems to me that these guys are going off a cliff here with a president that has got to change his way about this and cooperate with the investigation. If, in fact, there was no collusion, and maybe there wasn't, or cooperation, I think is actually the term, or conspiracy. If there wasn't a conspiracy, but yes, some of those people around him, you know, might have been worried, Manafort or Page or anybody. Manafort is already, look out, what's going to happen with that. I mean, you got to just acknowledge the fact that you've got that there is a problem there, that we do need to stop the Russians because they're going to be at this again coming up in, you know, throughout the spring into the fall and then in 2020. And somebody stop and say, listen, we got it. You know, we got to take this seriously. And you could still, and the president could still be the president of the United States. I don't get it.
Well said. Well said. I mean, look, Mr. Page. I mean, I've reviewed numerous classified documents now and unclassified documents. The one incontrovertible conclusion that I can draw is that this is one weird dude. He has spent a lot of time with the Russians. There were numerous reasons apart from this, you know, some of the evidence that the Republicans call into question in this Nunes memo to begin investigating this person. And like you said, he may end up getting indicted. He might start cooperating at some point. But there are other figures as well who are part of this whole Russia probe having nothing to do with Page. Papadopoulos, Manafort, Michael Flynn, this interesting person. I think Special Counsel Mueller is, going down the investigative line, and we'll see what happens. As you know,
But I'll ask you this, though.
The president.
Congressman, let's go back to this thing about Robert Mueller for a second, because there is every possibility that Republicans are trying to set up soft in the ground here, and not Republicans in writ large, but Devin Nunes and some of the people around President Trump who are gambling on this, who are rolling the dice that they want to be associated with President Trump because they think he's going to be very successful president because the economy is going well, and some of the other things are certainly along a conservative path, and that plays well to this base, and they need that base. And some of these congressmen are coming from districts where 80%, 90% of the voters, are Trump supporters. So I understand the politics of it. But in the meantime, they're staking their personal reputation on the chance that this young, inexperienced campaign could have been co-opted by much greater professionals in world politics and espionage, as the Russians are, as the FSB is, and could have gotten taken for a ride here, not realizing they were taken for a ride. And now they're trying to protect their flank by saying, hey, well, we were, we didn't want to be a part of it, but we did. But we don't want to we don't want to look stupid or weak. Because, right? I mean, is that what the president's whole thing about is? Don't look stupid or weak. Yeah. I don't want to look bad. Yeah. So we're going to just keep protecting ourselves. And these guys who should know better, Devin Nunes among them, should know better here, because you're on the damned intelligence committee. You know what goes on. Instead, you go back to the president. You go, listen, here's what we got to do. We know you didn't do anything. We want to protect this. But by trying to indict and impugn the Federal Bureau of Investigation, the Central Intelligence Agency, military intelligence, all the rest of the people who are doing their job is so destructive and so stupid and so backwards. And I'm sorry, I'm on a soapbox.
Can I mention?
Yes.
No, you're
the guest.
No. You're pointing out the right things to talk about. Can I just make one other observation, which is that I'm on the Oversight Committee. I've been in about 10 hours of interviews of FBI senior personnel, starting with McCabe, who is leaving, Chief of Staff Rybicki, Jim Rybicki, who's also now leaving. Mm-hmm. And what I really fear, and it goes along the lines of what you're talking about in terms of impugning the integrity of the FBI, is that there is a chilling effect on the work and the personnel of the FBI, and what I really fear might be happening is a purge of people who aren't loyal to the president. And so this is something that could do lasting damage to the FBI beyond this president, and we've got to be very concerned about maintaining that as the premier law enforcement institution that it's always been.
Yeah,
Congressman, can we ask you just real quick about the State of the Union last night? Yeah. I saw actually you did give the president some credit for the economy, even though you said that Obama laid the foundation. You're willing to give him some of the credit for the current economic boom. But I also want to ask you about immigration, because it seems the president, it appeared that the two sides, Democrats and Republicans, were nowhere near each other when it came to this at the time of the shutdown. Immigration, no one was willing to move to the center. The negotiations to us as outsiders didn't seem to be going anywhere. There were a lot of people drawing lines in the sand. But when the president comes out and says 1.8 million would be given a prospective path to citizenship, isn't that a move in a big direction that Democrats should be happy about? Or is this not enough in other ways?
I'm sorry, did you say, you said
the
1.8
million,
right?
That the president cited in the State of the Union address last night?
Yes. You know, that I think that is a move in the right direction, Anna. I really do. However, I think what he called them pillars of his plan don't make a lot of sense. I think a $25 billion border wall, if he's talking about some 3,000-mile border wall that's 20 foot high and concrete, that's just not going to go over well in Congress. However, if he's talking about enhancements to border security, sensor technology, drones, repairing walls and fences that already exist, I think that makes sense. But one point, Anna, that I just and Ro, I just wanted to make quickly on the immigration issue, which is, I wish that he would not use the harsh rhetoric that we're increasingly hearing from him and others with regard to our immigrants and even our dreamers. I think that he said yesterday, one immigrant could lead to an unlimited number of immigrants.
through family reunification, which has really been at the foundation of our immigration system for decades. And that's just not true.
Yeah.
And that kind of rhetoric, I think, is going to make it harder to come to a compromise and not easier. And so I'm concerned about that rhetoric as much as the substance of what he has to say.
All right, Congressman Raja Krishnan, yes.
Krishnamurthy?
Krishnamurthy. You know what? Before this, before your term is done, sir, before your political career is over, I'm going to get this right. I promise you. Krishnamurthy. There you go.
Hey, You're well on your way, my friend.
Thank you. I practice it at night when I get home.
Did I tell you that I when I've introduced myself as Raja Krishnamurthy, people say Roger Krishnamurthy. Very nice to meet you.
Except, that's a good way to go. You can do very well on the Northwest Side. All right, thank you.
Exactly.
All right,
thanks, Roger.
Put detective in front of that, and then you're in really good shape. All right, thank you very much,
there you go.
Congressman Raja. Right now, Judy Pilak is going to tell us what's happening at the top of the hour news. Brocon Show with Anna DeBlancis right here on 720 WGN.
It's that special time of day, Ro. Look at that.
Yes. I have it right here in my hand. Because if it's 5 o'clock.
It's the top 5 on the Brocon Show.
5.
Let's go.
4, 3, 2, 1.
Now, it's the top 5 at 5 on the Brocon Show with Anna DeBlancis. Sponsored by the Hip and Knee Center, where they help you feel new again.
Ready?
Yes.
Yes.
Get on with it.
All right, we will.
Let's do it.
Checking in at
number 5.
Governor Rauner delivered his State of the State address today.
Mm-hmm. Oh, come on.
He said the state of the state is one of readiness.
Mm-hmm.
I don't understand that.
We're ready.
What are we ready for?
We're ready to emerge from the past and move into the future.
He was hoping out loud the Democrats in control would give him what they have refused to give him before, term limits.
There is one more step we need to take to regain public confidence. 80% of Illinois' voters want term limits. The other 20%, it seems, are seated in this chamber and in elected Illinois courts. It is past time to make this good governance move. Put term limits on the ballot and let the people decide.
Who was applauding back there at the General Assembly?
He seemed to have a conciliatory tone, knowing that he's in a primary right now and trying to show that he's trying to get things done.
I think there's a middle ground to term limits that that can be done. Which is, I think, a more reasonable approach. Actually, the simple. It doesn't take the kind of political fortitude for term limits. But how about this? How about limits on leadership terms? So the Speaker of the House or the President of the Senate has a term limit. They can only serve for 2 terms or 4 terms or whatever it is.
I think it's a start, and I think he's right. These kinds of things are tremendously popular with voters, and why not see what voters have to say about it?
Right, because it's very hard to dislodge a state rep, because the state representative districts are pretty small.
Sure, and I think some of the people who oppose it would say, we have term limits, it's called voting, and then if you don't like your person, then vote against them. But we have seen that it's far easier for incumbents to raise money and to be more successful in elections.
And since Madigan's going to be leaving at some point anyway, I mean, he's no spring chicken, he's about 104, they very well preserved those. He's got that Just for Men going, so that's helping him immensely. It's that you know, maybe they could get that kind of thing passed. It's a step. I'm not sure. I'm a little conflicted about term limits, you know, by and large, because I think that there does tend to be You can get some wacky governance out of term limited states, and you're seeing some of that. However, you're getting really wacky governance out of here, which is, you know, just basically stealing. That's all I can see that's going on down there, and mismanagement of the budgets, and I just it makes no sense.
Yeah, you've got you've got 6 weeks to go till the primary March, and then you have a new poll out today that's very interesting, I think, that shows J.B. Pritzker, having spent about $10 million, is less than 30%. He's polling a lot of undecided, with Daniel Biss at 17%, and picking up some steam and name recognition on that side. So maybe the Rauner ads have been effective. You know, he's spending a lot of money
on J.B.
In the primary. And that's, I think, shocking. A lot of people undecided still, with weeks to go.
Yeah, I mean, the billionaires and Democrats, even though they've been together for years and years and years and years, it just right now it's very there's a populist kind of movement. Billionaires are seen as, at least on the left, they're seen as a problem. And Bruce Rauner, one of the things about Bruce Rauner is he's going to get compared to Donald Trump in the general, no matter how different he is, and he is, and how much he tries to run away from that. I thought it was very interesting too. You know, there was talking about this. You know, Gary McCarthy, former the superintendent of Chicago Police, is going to run for mayor potentially in next year against Rahm Emanuel. And the story today about how he's not going to be goaded into talking about Donald Trump. Yeah, I think you kind of are going to be goaded into talking about Donald Trump.
If you're going to run, yes. He took some campaign money, I think, from Giuliani, is one of the stories today.
Right.
So, obviously a Trump supporter.
And he's a New York guy, and they're going to ask him, because there are rumors that he was supportive of Donald Trump, and he's going to have to run, and maybe that works, I don't know, in Chicago. I kind of think I do know, but I don't know anything anymore.
You don't know anymore.
No. All right. Speaking of Donald Trump.
Number four.
Anthony Scaramucci was on the program today.
He was.
The Mooch was on the loose here. He's a former White House communications director. That
you
also
remember for, what, 11 days?
11 days, yes, as he pointed out to us. 11 days that shall live in American history. That's like referring to David Orr as a former mayor of Chicago.
It was like, how many days?
Right. Oh, man.
He was.
Yeah. Now, he, like the rest of us, doesn't believe that Donald Trump, he did not believe Donald Trump when he was originally making his bid for the White House, when they were first talking about it, in the Mooch and the Donald were sitting down and...
I met with him the day after The Apprentice ended. He said, hey, that's my last Apprentice. They want to resign me, but I'm running for president. I literally laughed. I said, there's no way you're doing that. He said, no, I'm doing it. I said, you're not going to do it. I said, you've got 19,000 square feet of space here in this Trump Tower, and there's 6,000 square feet of space in the White House residence. You're not going to do it. By the way, I've been on your plane. Your plane is unbelievable. Why do you want to carry the press around? And so forth. No, I'm going to fix the country's problems. I'm running for president. So I didn't believe him, you know, but I didn't take him seriously in the beginning. And the Democrats obviously didn't take him seriously. And that's why he won.
There you go. Not opposed to being part of the reelection campaign.
Your plane's nicer. There's a good argument.
Just stay with your plane.
Yeah.
Air Force One, whatever.
Yeah, it turns out Air Force One's nicer. Although it's not, it doesn't have a gold toilet like his 757 has.
Gee.
I don't know. anyway, the Mooch was asked by one of us. I can't remember which one. Are you going to be part of the reelection campaign?
You know, listen, I certainly, you know, I'm a big supporter, obviously, and I'm close to the family, and I would certainly like to help him on the reelection campaign. I don't see any way for me to return to the White House, frankly. So people that talk about that, I think, is nonsensical. But I certainly will be as supportive as I can.
Okay.
There you go.
It was a very interesting and candid interview. It's available for podcast right now at WGNradio.com.
Because you've been given the impression, I think, if you've seen him sometimes on the networks, that he talks to Trump all the time. And he said, you know what, I'm not going to give you that impression. I've talked to him four or five times since I left. And That's
says
the way
he
it
still
is.
Talks to the press shop, though. Talks to Sarah and mm-hmm. some of the other people.
Hope Hicks and that kind of thing.
Yeah.
But he's known him for 20 years. Considers him a friend.
Okay. All right. And we'll, maybe we'll be hearing more from Anthony Scaramucci on this program. We'll see. Interesting. Interesting fellow.
Sure.
All right. We'll get to your three, your two, and your one. But first, Judy Pilak is going to tell us what's coming up at the bottom of the hour. Rocon Show with Anna DeVlantis.
Yes.
We have, we're getting sold very heavily here on the tortoise. To get a-
So the offer for the therapy pet for the show.
Mm-hmm.
And tortoise is the only offer so far?
Yeah. We're
what about a goat?
I'd love a goat.
A baby goat.
Yeah, I'd like a goat too. They'd climb up on everything.
But then they grow up, as we mentioned earlier.
They, what's so bad when they grow up?
Or we can make
then we can eat it.
Oh,
there might be children listening.
So, okay, we could get the cheese from it, I guess.
Yeah, goat cheese.
Don't we have
great.
To get it knocked up to get the? That's who's going to be responsible for that to get the cheese?
I think Anna. You can bring them somewhere.
She loves goats.
Yeah, she's Greek.
And
right.
She's Greek.
Yeah, that's it. All right, top five.
Five. The Giannis family about that.
We'll continue on with this, but we got that right now. We have an offer of a tortoise.
Anybody with a goat, please contact us. Thank you.
Number three.
You're going to be really sorry you put that out there.
No, I'm not.
During the State of the League address, what is up with the State of the blanket? We should have the State of the Show address.
That would be
State
awesome.
Of the Therapy Pet status? Of,
yeah. Roger Goodell spoke about the NFL's officiating and the ways it can be improved in the offseason.
Oh, my gosh. I'm going to throw up.
Our officiating can get better. So can all of us. And I think our officiating is outstanding. I believe that with technology the way it is, we see things now that we never saw even 10 years ago. And that makes their job that much harder. But I think they're extraordinary professionals.
In the referee's defense, nobody knows what a catch is.
See, that,
well,
I don't understand
know, nobody
that.
Knows
Hold
what
on.
An illegal
the catch
hit
rule?
Is.
Stand, yeah. He talks about yeah. that.
Our officiating can get better. So can all of us. And no, I think our officiating.
We just did that. We just did that one. Mm-hmm. We need the catching one.
The catch rule part.
Uh oh. Hold on. Stand by.
Well, they're reconvening the catch committee, which met 2 years ago and came back with zero recommendations. So now that's all going
to. So what?
Back.
What do you, to me, a catch is
what
when
Zach
the guy
Miller did
catches the ball,
right,
and is in possession of it, and he does not lose possession. It can bobble,
right,
but he does not lose possession
What's
of it.
What's the confusion?
You know, I think the thing is, some of it's just common sense, you know, and they're trying to put a hard line on what a catch is, but every catch is so different.
Hold on. Here's what he says.
Intelligent and thoughtful and people who have great football experience can disagree on what a catch is or what a catch isn't. From our standpoint, I think I would like to start back instead of adding to the rule or subtracting the rule, is start over again and look at the rule fundamentally the start.
Oh, my God. Mm-hmm.
Because I think when you add or subtract things, you can still lead to confusion.
Okay. All right. Okay.
What's so
See,
confusing?
This is what's wrong with the NFL. There are many things wrong with the NFL. But I'll tell you something right now. Guys taking a knee is in back of what a catch is. Because that's when the game starts. I want to know what a catch is.
Well, and who didn't agree that the Zach Miller catch was a catch?
Right.
That just was a robbery by the NFL, and nobody likes to see that.
And if the guy goes down with the catch, and he lands sort of on the ball, he's got his hands around the ball, and that hits first before the rest of his body, and he's a 200-something-pound guy, and the ball moves just slightly when it hits the ground, but he's still in possession of it, he's got both hands on it. I'm sorry. That's a catch.
That's a catch.
Otherwise, then you don't have catches.
You know, running backs dive and extend, and the nose of the football just grazes the pylon in the corner of the end zone. It's a touchdown. But a receiver catches the ball, takes two steps, and maybe bobbles it just a little bit in his hands, and nope, not a catch.
You know what? You're making me feel bad, because that's exactly what I thought, Matt, when I asked for the replay call.
And it resulted in a turnover, Coach, against the Packers in the biggest game of the season.
Yeah!
Why'd you have to bring that up?
Sealed your fate.
Yeah, that did seal his fate.
Hope you're enjoying Florida.
Hey, you guys.
Don't mention the monkey.
All right. Maybe we should just get a monkey for the show and just call this a day.
I think that's a bad idea.
Mm-hmm. Number two.
Michelle Obama was on Ellen DeGeneres today.
Mm-hmm. Her first interview.
A big social media stir because she explained what was in that large Tiffany box that she received from the current First Lady, Melania Trump.
It was a lovely frame.
What was a frame?
It was a frame. Well, there's all this protocol. I mean, this is like a state visit. So they tell you that you're going to do this. They're going to stand here. Never before do you get this gift. So I'm sort of like, okay, what am I supposed to do with this gift? And everyone cleared out and no one would come and take the box. And I'm thinking, do we take the picture with? And then my husband saved the day. See, he grabbed the box and took it back inside. But everybody cleared out. No staff, no one. I was like, what do you do with the box?
It was an awkward
moment. I thought it was
they
nice.
For it.
Yeah, they did. And I felt bad for everybody in that except for Trump.
Oh.
Melania, I was like, you know, she's like, I will bring gift to.
She's probably thinking she's doing the right thing, just bringing a gift.
I will bring gift to black president and we will take over the White House. You know, whatever it was.
Trump probably didn't even know she had a gift.
Probably not.
She's usually thinking of these things when he shows up at places.
And it was from the Tiffany's, like, in there. It was either in their hotel or the Trump Tower. Right? I mean, that was the funny thing about it. It's nice. But what was in the picture frame? Was it a picture of Donald Trump with, like, the two thumbs up?
I think it was just a picture frame. That's it.
Maybe the Trump family picture where the older kids don't look at the younger kids?
I think it was, like, had, like, one of those things you see at Target with the fake family in it. Maybe Tiffany says something fancier.
Yeah. Maybe it's just a picture of Tiffany Trump. That would have been something.
Could have done that.
All right.
Go ahead.
I mean, when you get the guys naming his kids Tiffany and Baron, and I mean, I guess Diamond was taken. Gucci, the Gucci Trump, was not possible. Gold, Sterling, were those all gone? All right. Hold on.
Number one.
Riders on the storm.
And there have been plenty of them. Stormy Daniels was on the Jimmy Kimmel last night. And let me just tell you something.
Mm-hmm.
This was a ridiculous booking. This was a complete and utter one thing only ratings grab kind of moment.
Didn't have much of a payoff.
No, because she didn't want to talk about anything. Couldn't confirm anything. Except, and there was a very awkward moment where the statement that was released yesterday that says Stormy Daniels will have nothing else to say about this, and she denies ever having an affair. She did it. She's denied having an affair a number of times over the last number of years, and she's got nothing else to say about it. Was signed by somebody that was not Stormy Daniels because the signature was not the same.
Investigative reporter Jimmy Kimmel pointed that out. They mm-hmm. look very different.
Did you sign this letter that was released today?
I don't know. Did I?
Wait a minute. That you can
but
say,
that does
right?
That doesn't look like my signature, does it?
It doesn't look like your signature. So you're saying perhaps this letter was written and released without your approval. Do you know where it came from? Do you have any idea?
I do not know where.
You do not know where it came from. So you
deny. It came from the internet.
So you did not have anything to do with this.
I also work for the FBI, and I'm a man, according to the internet today.
Is that right?
Yes.
Well, we'll have to do a full examination.
Stormy's attorney didn't like that and immediately put out a statement. I am Stormy's attorney. I thought she did a fantastic job. She was just having fun, and the signature is indeed hers.
Mm-hmm.
Was signed in my presence. Stormy Gate.
Well, I want to talk about this because this will come up a little bit later on. I want to talk about not so much Stormy, but Melania Trump. And last night and all of this, that all of the attention on her right now and what must she be thinking? I'd like to get a thought from the women on the show about this.
All right.
That's all coming your way. But first, let me close this up, and then Judy Pilock has the news at the bottom of the hour.
The top five at five.
Judy.
A lot of offers for show pets. I'd like this suggestion. Why not adopt and sponsor an animal at Lincoln Park Zoo? From the 7679, you can visit it and even volunteer for care if you are inclined. Also, your fans can visit, maybe donate.
Like a penguin?
Yeah. Polar bear.
Cool. I think the polar bear actually just...
There's not still one left.
Okay.
Well, there's one that's been on loan to that Carolinas.
I think we got one left over there. Oh, God. I don't know. They're selling me hard on this turtle tortoise thing.
It must have salmonella.
Yeah, I don't know. Now it eats nothing but lettuce and strawberry stems, I'm told.
Yeah, but you can't.
I'm
going to
read
that.
We're going to do this after 6 o'clock. We got another congressman. Every time we've got a congressman on the phone here, we got a very busy day. There's a lot going on. And we start talking about this show pet because Anna's decided we need one.
We do. And
she's trying to offload her puppy on us.
No, that was not very...
I think Mr. Quigley would let us get a tortoise.
Yes, Congressman Quigley is with us, and I can pronounce his name, so that's easy. Unlike Raja Krishnamurthy, who we had on earlier. It was very confusing. All right, but there's some very serious business here because, as it turns out, that Congressman Quigley is on the House Intelligence Committee, which the Republican memo from the House Intelligence Committee is the one in question here that is to be put out. It is not out yet, by the way. The FBI director has said he has, quote, grave concerns about the accuracy of this memo. And this is, by the way, the handpicked FBI director of the president, who is saying to the president, don't release this. This is not accurate. Now, you've seen both of these memos because you're on the committee. You've seen both the Republican memo and you've seen the Democratic memo. What, Congressman, is your thought on this?
Well, I taught at Loyola University for 7 years, and it's not a stretch to say that if you compare the two, the Republican memo is more like the high school junior writing a book report at 1 a.m. with 2 Red Bulls under his belt, and he hasn't read the book. It is misleading. It's inaccurate. It is short. It's not footnoted. The majority memo as such was criticized not just by the FBI, but the Justice Department said there are national security concerns because basically it's talking about the highest of classified materials.
What this comes down to, I would like to, at least sure, this is the way it's been done publicly, and then I don't know what you can and cannot comment on here, but this is what we understand. And I don't know if this is the most startling thing in the memo, but certainly this is what has been reported. This Carter Page guy, who, has been, there's rumors around Carter Page that he was involved in business dealings with the Russians for many years, that he was talking to the Russians while he was in and around the Trump campaign in the summer of 2016, and that he got picked up on an intercept. And therefore, they wanted the Justice Department or the FBI wanted to continue to listen to the conversations that he was having. He's a U.S. person. He's a U.S. citizen. They wanted to continue to listen to these conversations he was having with foreigners, with people in a foreign land who were contacting him. We come to assume that these are Russians that he's talking to. They went to the FISA court to get this warrant. This happens all the time. But it takes a lot to get the FISA judge to agree to an overhear of a U.S. person. It's more than just, hey, we think there's something wrong with this guy. There's a lot of evidence that has to be presented. We understand that one of the pieces of evidence that was presented was part of this dossier that is in question, and that that Republicans claim is a completely trumped up dossier that was put together by Democrats, and the fact that the judge was not told that Democratic money was behind this when he was trying to okay the FISA warrant has created the problem here. What I'm assuming the Democratic memo is going to say is there was a lot more than just the dossier behind the request to continue to overhear the conversations that Carter Page was having with the Russians. Do I have that basically right?
Well, you've done your homework. Oh, there's some things I can talk about and not talk about. Here's the easiest way to describe this. The investigation began independently of the dossier. And, it's hard to confirm or deny some of the stuff you're talking about because I've got to remember what's in which memo, and obviously their memo isn't even released yet. But I think that's the most important aspect. I will tell you that when the majority.
Am I in the ballpark, Congressman? Is it? Am I in the same town as this memo? Do you think, or these, or the germane issues here?
You're at Clark and Addison.
Okay, thank you. That's what I thought. All right, so I guess
go Cubs.
He's a Northside Congressman. That's why. So if that is in fact, if this is what this is all about, and there's sources and methods and all that that everybody is concerned about, but it, I think the cat is out of the bag on this. How do we get, and this is the thing, and I saw you earlier today talking about this, Devin Nunes, who, you know, recused himself. He's the chairman of your committee. He had to recuse himself because he did that midnight run over to the White House after he said he received some information. You asked him, I think it was today or was it yesterday, you asked him directly if the White House was helping with the creation of this memo, did you not?
Correct. And that transcript was released today.
So what was the answer?
He wouldn't answer the question. And when it was all done, I think when you read the transcript, you'll also be proud of the fact that I compared them to the Chicago City Council. So,
oh boy.
I think
doesn't sound like a compliment.
They understood the reference. Yeah, they understood the reference. Look, this is serious stuff.
Okay, but I want to go back to the important point here, though, is you asked him if Devin Nunes, who is the chairman of the House of Representatives, which is a separate and equal branch of government than the executive branch, was actually if the memo that is being released today was either aided, edited, helped, or signed off on by the White House, which would really be a violation of the separation of powers here, because then, and it would show that he is being co-opted by the White House, and he should be separate and independent here. It's an oversight. And if he's refusing to answer that, that tells me that, because he, now what he refused to answer is, as far as I understand it here, is, you know, you asked him if he did that. He said he had no knowledge of that. But then you asked him if his staff had been in contact with the White House about this memo, and he refused to answer that and got hot about it, right?
Right. And I think if you actually were there, it's important. Juries don't just read transcripts. He was rattled answering the first question, and it was a little more Jackie Gleason than one might imagine just reading a transcript. And then I continued the question, and when he got to the staff, he got agitated and shut me down. And then shortly thereafter, he referenced, I don't trust them. We're investigating them, which is big news.
You don't trust who? They're investigating who? Who's he referring to there?
The chairman was suggesting that he was investigating the Department of Justice and the FBI. Now, there's a whole process. We're supposed to have oversight over those agencies, but he can't unilaterally on his own, which is exactly what he's doing, investigate people. The gist of this is he doesn't like what they're doing, so we're going to investigate them.
The FBI or the Justice Department.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. I mean, at some point in time, we're relying on these agencies, and we always have to keep us safe. They are doing the most important investigation of our lifetime. Let them do it. Mr. Mueller is a Vietnam War hero. He had impeccable credentials going in. Let him do the job. What's happening, in short, is the White House is freaking out. There have been four indictments. There's two people cooperating, including the National Security Advisor, General Flynn. And they're reacting harshly. So they're going after two of the foundations of institutions that keep us safe. That's what's scary, particularly if they're doing it blindly just to protect the White House.
Do you think this memo is coming out tonight?
I suspect it'll be out in the next 24 hours. Next week we'll be for the same committee asking that our memo be released. It has footnotes. It's well written. I would suggest to you that it would reveal information that would enhance the credibility of the investigation.
All right. Thank you very much, Congressman. Appreciate it. Mike Quigley.
Anytime. Thanks. Thank you.
All right. Sure. A lot going on in Washington. We're bringing it to you as it's happening. Judy, what's coming up with the news at the top of the hour? Time to step up to the challenge. Join WGN Radio in the fight to end lung disease. Chicago's biggest stair climb, American Lung Association's Fight for Air Climb on Sunday, March 11th. Presidential Towers of the West Loop. You can climb any of the four towers or all of them if you wish.
Mm-hmm.
Total of 180 floors, 2,340 steps. I'm tired just reading this thing.
No, it's a
team edit to win it.
And it is team edit to win it for WGN. And Kevin's part of it. Violetta?
Violetta, we'll see you there March 11th. Yeah. All right, bright and early.
She can just ride the elevator.
Don't eat cabbage rolls before.
Oh, yeah. And you don't want to be in back of the person who's eating the cabbage rolls. Thank you. Anna and I are, yes. We have a thing that day.
Right.
I'm going to contribute.
We'll bring your checks, to the
event. Right. I'll contribute.
I'll be one of the people cheering at the top floor. I used to do that with my sorority. Cheer on the firemen.
They do have water stations, too, which are super helpful.
That was me. Yeah. That was me.
Do people give out the water?
Yeah, they have little cups. Like, you know, like a marathon. Sometimes they like just grab and I dump half over my head. Keep me
going.
And
they make it slippery for the people who are going up the stairs.
Yeah, that's probably a good call. I probably shouldn't do that.
Yeah.
They've got people for that.
No, they don't.
Probably not.
You can register now to join us or help pledge support to the WGN radio team, End It to Win It. 89 cents of every dollar raised goes directly to education and research. You just go to fightforairclimb.org.
Be there. Presidential Towers. I'm a little sore today. Did some hardcore training last night.
What's training like? I mean, how many steps? What do you do on
I just ran a lot last night, to be honest, and did some incline running.
Yeah, just one night of training?
One night of training. I kicked it off last night because you kind of got to get going now. If you're going to do this, you better focus for the next month here or so.
So you do all four buildings, Kevin?
Yeah. Yeah, it's 180 floors, 2,340 steps. That is all. So it's
it would be all for me too.
It's yeah. He had a good run. It's a fun event though, and I'm telling you, once you're finished, it's a great feeling. But get going now because you got about a month to get your body in shape. Like we talked about yesterday, the entire GN team is like running up and down the Tribune Tower stairs. So I need to probably
This isn't something you just wake up the day before.
No.
It is not.
No,
I did the hustle up the Hancock, and I did train for that, and thank goodness, I did.
You went up the whole Hancock?
No, to train. I remember Mike Adamley from NBC5. We trained together in the NBC Tower, and it was serious. Like we just, but you don't, you know, it's like the marathon. You never train the full length of it. So when you actually do it the day of, you're winded as heck.
Build a proper playlist in your phone as well. I've already begun building that because last year, my phone started like dying with like a whole other tower to go. I'm like, oh my God, I need this. I'm going to have to talk to people. I'll be in my own head. This will be a disaster. Build a pretty sweet
playlist. How long does it take if you're, you know, you're roughly pacing at the average?
Like actual climbing time, I want to say like 30 to 40 minutes.
Do they have donuts and stuff for you at the end?
They have all kinds of snacks. Yeah. Hmm. Water, Gatorades, bananas.
Does it feel weird when the firemen pass you up in the hallway and you're like, you're carrying 500 pound of equipment on you?
Yeah, I think it was last year, the year before, I saw a fireman in full gear.
Is there a fire in the building at the time?
No,
Why are they just training.
They do it for the cause.
Yeah, they do it for the cause. And
in full uniform and with their
50 pounds
tanks
of gear
and everything,
or more.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They put us to shame.
Well, that's what they do for a living.
Well, right. Yeah, I'm glad that they can do it.
I know.
It.
That's why firefighters are badasses, because that's what they can do. We have one of the best vertical firefighting institutions in the world, if not the best.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's an argument between Chicago and New York about who's got a better vertical firefighting operation. I would argue it is Chicago.
Well, we had finished one year, and a group of firemen were like, let's do a fifth tower, and they went and did a fifth tower.
Gee.
While the rest of us were, like, passed out on the lobby floor, you know, trying to recover.
Some of them do it with a cigarette dangling out of their mouth, too, which I think is kind of weird.
That's real talent.
Yeah, not in the spirit of the event. But I just don't understand. I just don't understand that you said 30 to 40 minutes. I mean, it would be... not for me, pal. I mean...
Yeah, well, for some people, you know, I remember one year we were all, like, pretty much all done, and we're, like, counting heads. Okay, we got everybody, and then there's...
Cochran.
I'm not going to name who it was. It was this member of the sales team. And he comes, like, walking down the stairs, and we're like, you're still here? Like, he had been doubled up. We probably could have done all four towers twice.
Now, once you're up at the top, you take the elevator down to go to the next tower, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So some elevator time.
And the elevator ride down is just wonderful. A bunch of sweaty people rubbing elbows. It's beautiful, but it's a team effort. Everybody battles through. So yeah,
I need fight to for Eric Klein. Fight be there Klein. Or be square.
Yeah. So Violetta, you're gonna be there.
I will go cheer you on.
Okay,
that's nice. And I'll make a contribution.
And I will contribute with Rokon's credit card.
Right. Exactly. But that's how she does it. Yeah.
Yeah, Ro, get us your credit card soon because we got to get all our donations in.
Yeah. It's a contribution.
No, I'm gonna make an independent one. Or the it's a good cause.
Unspeakable pronunciation of contribution by our own Violetta Pot.
What I say?
You don't want to know. I can't go there.
Not.
Yeah. 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 And then it happened
again. That's what Siri always thinks when you say country club. Sometimes she gets.
How dare you? Is what her response is. All right. Coming up in the 6 o'clock hour, two things. I want to talk about Melania Trump's reaction last night and the reaction to her and this whole thing about. And I'd like to understand from the female perspective here on this program. And we have three folks here. I think you'd really weigh in well to what's happened here. Mm-hmm. And then the fight for our show pet continues.
Okay.
I'm being lobbied greatly here on the phone. So stay right here. Yes, it's the Rokon Show with Anna DeBlantis right here on 720 WGN. All right, there's a lot being written today about and speculation about Melania Trump, first lady. Mm-hmm. And she was wearing a cream-colored pantsuit last night. And some people say that she was, in fact, in a cream-colored pantsuit because she was showing her devotion to Hillary Clinton. These are Democrats who are saying this.
Or her sympathy with the suffragettes, which is what members of Congress and Hillary did last year.
Or just saying I'm part of the Me Too movement, even though I married the guy.
It's crazy, though. The New York Times actually has an article today, Melania Trump and the Case of the White Pantsuit. And it's an entire article about what she wore.
That might be a little bit of a stretch.
I think so.
Yes. All right. But I will ask you this. Let's just assume that she wanted to wear that. She, you know, she's a beautiful woman, and she's, you know, she wears all that sort of stuff,
and,
you know, very well, and you know, an excellent. She's a great and proud member of America's great immigrant community, despite what her husband was saying last night. I ask you this: if and a lot of people are making a deal out of the fact that she didn't go to Switzerland with him when he was going to Davos.
Right, skipped the Davos trip.
Because it was right after the Stormy Daniels revelation that Michael Cohen, the attorney for Donald Trump, had written a $130,000 check out of a dummy corporation in Delaware to keep Stormy Daniels quiet about allegations that the two of them had nuptials in a hotel room following a golf tournament back in the mid-2000s.
Right. Shortly after Barron was born. And then she arrived alone or separately from the president at the State of the Union, which was defying tradition. There was a lot made of that as well.
Does that defy tradition?
Yes.
I thought that happens from time to time.
It seems like it would be obvious that it would happen because you would think the president would need to be there so far in advance for reasons, but no, they typically
arrive together.
Not that that means anything, really. I mean, I think
they did share a ride home, though.
Yes,
I think going my way, sailor. I don't know what to make of this whole like Stormy Daniels thing. I mean, she has to know. I mean, this guy. I mean, he's famously after the situation with the tape, the Access Hollywood tape. I mean, he basically is acknowledging that, you know, women come onto him all the time and he takes advantage of that.
Right, but even if you know that your husband's doing it, I don't think anyone wants their dirty laundry aired out.
Okay, so that's my question.
And then it makes you feel uncomfortable because you don't know how to act, even though maybe she knows. I mean, she has to know who she married.
Or just the fact that this one was everywhere for constant news cycles. I mean, she's human. You know, it's her husband. Anybody's spouse was involved in this and you had a reminder of it 24 hours a day. That doesn't feel good.
Judy, any thoughts on this?
I agree with everything.
Thank you.
Everything, all of the above.
I don't care whatever they've said, I am with them.
She's made her bed and now she has to lay in it.
Think that's the case.
Well, yeah.
Do you think, I mean...
Does she have to lay in it with
her husband? No, no, no. She lays in her own bed.
Yeah, right. They have separate bedrooms. You get in the White House, there are separate bedrooms for the First Lady and the President, because you guys got to work late. I know this only from House of Cards, but I do know that it's...
We learned a lot from that, didn't we?
Possible, I suppose.
And, you know, there is something to be said about a personal embarrassment compared to a very public mm-hmm. embarrassment.
Mm-hmm. A lot of people, there had body language experts who were analyzing how she appeared to look more detached or, you know, distant or maybe...
Plus, you want subtle jabs. Normal. Even when someone, you know, when a spouse or a significant other does something, maybe subtle jabs like not riding with them or... But those are their own personal subtle jabs.
Or slapping their hand in public.
Is that a subtle jab? Is that what's going on here? That's my question. You people can answer this. I'm a guy. I'm blind to almost
right. You don't
this.
Even get the subtle jabs, and then we have to be more aggressive.
Yeah,
raise our voice.
Yeah, I've been there. So is that what this is? Is this a shot across the bow? Because Michael Cohen did write this check. It is a dummy corporation. This woman was paid. And last night on Jimmy Kimmel, as awkward and weird as that interview was.
And boy, was it weird.
She basically did back up her claims to a magazine in 2011, to In Touch magazine, that had details of their dalliance in a hotel room in Lake Tahoe. And, you know, and again, this is a surprise to no one. This would be a scandal in almost any other presidency in any other century, but it is not now. And I don't think America really, you know, of all the things we could be worried about with Donald Trump, this is the last one where, you know, we're worried much more where his fingers are now. And that's on the button, the nuclear button. So this is the kind of thing that I don't think really has much political legs. But I do think it's interesting to watch her. And yeah, she did make, you know, she knows who she married, and she, you know, she obviously, you got to remember that Donald Trump met her while he was married to Marla Maples and dating another woman.
So, but she covered her bases by asking for both phone numbers, personal and professional.
Right. That was so smart. He was on his way out of the relationship with Marla Maples, and then he found his way into this one, and they, you know, they got married, and as he told Howard Stern, because she's great in bed. And he doesn't really want to ever see the kids, but you know, he's happy to give them one. And all of those, you know, and all of that. I mean, but again, I mean, we know who he is. Is she? How do you, as a woman of dignity, which I think she is, how does she get out from underneath this, or does she have to?
Well, I think she has to show up for events like this. That's part of being First Lady. So,
and I think that's what she hates.
Yeah, you're probably right.
She hates the whole public eye.
Well, I think that she hates that she can't act as dignified as she wants to because of her husband. Like, I am going to be right. So I'm going to be the bigger person and come to this and be cordial and be appropriate and present myself in a well manner.
So
but
you
I wish you didn't make
it
so
being
hard
in the public eye and being famous.
No, not
really?
This way. Not like this. Oh. Absolutely not.
Especially
I don't think she
husband...
ever wanted to. You know, we all talked about this. She did not think they were going to win, just like he didn't think they were going to win. I think it's the last thing she wanted to do for the next 4 years. I don't think she didn't want to live at the White House.
And be criticized constantly, having
right.
your husband's indiscretions.
Hearing about how bad, you know, she knows personally, but now everyone knows, yeah, what he's like. Oh, gosh, no. Who would want that? And I think every woman in America does read that in her face.
I'll tell you this right now. She did not grow up in Slovenia wishing to one day become the First Lady of the United States of America. Of France, maybe, but not of the the United States of America. I mean, this is you know, she took a unique path to the place mm-hmm. she now resides, and so it's like a
because again, she never thought it would happen.
Well, nobody thought it was good, as you pointed out. Nobody thought
right.
it was going to happen.
But, I mean, especially her. I think she's probably thinking, "What? I'm married to him. There's no way he's going to be president."
Well, she was looking for the dignified way out. She probably did find it because she chose to travel with the guests that she invited to the speech uh-huh. over her husband. And she no doubt believes very strongly in her guests. And she did seem to light up at that moment. Her eyes smiled when she looked at that little boy who placed the flags at the grave sites of veterans who didn't have them. And that seemed really genuine.
That's
when she
what I was gonna say. That was very genuine. I thought mm-hmm. first time I have seen her genuine.
In contrast to some of the other ways she was acting during that speech.
And she does seem to be a very dedicated mother. And I think she's a dedicated mother in a sense that she also sees how Donald Trump deals with the family dynamic concerning his kids. And he's seen, like, and I think she's seen what has happened to Tiffany Trump, who has been, you know, like, thrown over by the other kids.
Based on what she probably thinks is the actions of her mother.
And she...
So she's going to act accordingly so that doesn't happen to her.
Right, and she wants to take good care of her son in a very, very tough situation here for him because he's a young boy. He's mm-hmm. he's incredibly tall for his age, so people assume he's older than he is. He's
an only child in some ways, right, because he's of a different generation than his stepbrothers and sisters.
Oh, yeah, yeah,
entirely.
For sure. Yeah. And she wants to be very protective of him, and I you know, fully understand that, and I have a lot of sympathy for her and for Barron. I have a lot less sympathy, and I have sympathy for Tiffany too. I have a lot less sympathy for the other three.
I don't know if I sympathize with them, but I respect the way that she carries herself and the way that she deals with being First Lady and Donald Trump's wife.
Right, because I do think that there's an embarrassment factor there for her. I think even she's like, oh my God, really. Do you have to be like that? It's sort of like, and there are a lot of wives who look at their husbands like, oh, come on.
But did she feel that before he was the president?
Right. I go back to, you make your bed, you got to sleep in it. I mean, this Donald Trump didn't just happen today. This is how he's always been.
Right, but she was able to live her life out of the public eye, but still very happily without being the first lady.
She obviously made a pact with the devil if, you know, she's putting up with all this stuff, mm-hmm. then why would you marry him? She married him right. for whatever reason, mm-hmm. and she took the bad with the good.
I think Anthony Scaramucci told us earlier, 19,000 square feet of real estate on Fifth right. Avenue in New York.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not going to say why exactly she married him, but, you know.
This is like Green Acres, right? I mean, she's like, the
oh my
foreign
gosh,
lady.
It's just like Green Acres.
The foreign lady has, you know, was on Park Avenue, and now she's got to live in this crap
dump.
House
yeah.
in, you know, in the South, essentially, and try to figure out how she's going to make it with Eb.
And downgrade her life.
If she gets a pig, it'll all be over. Hey, that's what we should get.
A baby pig?
One of those
pot-bellied
pigs.
Didn't we already go over the pig situation and how big of a disaster that would be?
Why is the pig a bad idea? I didn't think
they
that was
roll
a bad
around
idea.
On their own, you know what.
Well,
they don't
to.
Have to.
They're very smart animals.
We could train our pig not to do that. All right, Jeannie, you're on WGN. Go ahead, Jeannie.
I think within 2 years after the Trump presidency ends, Melania will ask for divorce, and I think she got promised a boatload of money to hang in with this.
I had the sense that this wasn't going to last, if he had not won, that the relationship wasn't going to last, and that maybe it was sort of at the end and he's running. My sense of this, and again, I'm going to, you know, totally outside, but we're all just looking at this through the glass. My sense of this is that they weren't particularly close and that he's not really a, you know, like a doting husband. Am I you think I'm off base
no,
on
I
that?
Think, yeah, you got that one.
Yeah.
I think workaholic and committed to his work, probably not home very much.
Right. And
I'm sure she's getting a bonus though.
Bonus.
Well, she's putting in a lot yeah. of extra hours, so she deserves it.
Right. I mean, she does have to go live down there where the, you know, down there in Hooterville, and it's got to be a difficult situation when she's in the public eye and everybody is guessing. And, you know, this is an interesting thing. The White House is not going out to defend her mm-hmm. the way that they defend him for all the goofy things that go on. They're not going out to you know, and he's not coming to her defense. You know, last night there was a question about how much doting he was going to do from the pulpit last night,
mm-hmm.
right? And talk about my beautiful wife or any of that kind of stuff.
Maybe try to make up for a little bit of...
Yeah.
Yeah,
and he didn't
said.
Do any of it.
He didn't.
He doesn't seem to care that all of this is coming out and that it's impacting her.
But give her credit
for sitting. He's not a great husband.
Yeah, thank you, Jeannie. Thank you. That is that. I
that
believe
that is fake news.
That I think is correct. Thank you.
So fake.
Clooney had a pig.
Oh, who? George Clooney?
Just Clooney did have a pig.
He
yeah.
did.
Oh well,
potbelly pig.
He thought it was a potbelly pig. It turned out not to be. It was an actual real pig.
Oh, a feral pig.
The thing got to be like 400 pounds. No.
Look at me. I'm always wanting to eat everything.
Yeah.
Who am I? Kevin Powell?
Yeah. Anyway, the point is that we've got
Kevin,
this.
We could have a really good...
oh, don't...
You know.
I could just go to a pig on a spit. We're going to get to the show pet coming up.
I just want to. I don't want to conflate these two issues, as we like to say in Washington now, between the first lady and our show pet. I mean, that is Donald Trump's show pet, and it's not working out for him.
I believe that Melania Trump's approval rating is going up higher,
way higher than his.
Yeah, she's getting a lot of sympathy.
She's at 47%, and he's going down at 40.
Wouldn't you just love if the whole thing comes crashing down? It's because of her. When she pops out and says, "Let me tell you what happened," I was there. And this is what is happening.
But you know, she won't do that. She's above that. I think she's classier than outing him.
At least I don't think she knows much anyway. Really? I don't think she doesn't want to be involved in any of that.
Who do you think was translating the Russian?
She does speak like six languages. Yes.
Not Russian, though.
Oh, then I got a question.
Melania.
When Vladimir said to me, although in House of Cards, if you get just back to House of Cards, remember how the Putin character in House of Cards, spoiler alert, but nobody's going to watch it anymore because of Kevin Spacey, so I can talk about it now. the Putin character was hitting on the wife.
Robin Wright.
On Robin Wright, mm-hmm. Right? I mean, that was the whole thing. It was kind of a whole deal.
So what was she translating?
Well, I'm just wondering if Putin ever hit on Melania.
And then Melania would do stuff like, he says you're an idiot.
He says you're a very smart man.
Remember they sat next to each other at the G20 summit?
It was like all over.
It looked very friendly.
Yeah. It was very much like House of Cards. You're going to get rid of idiots and come over here. You are part of our race, you know. This is what this should be for you now.
Well, they both speak German, so they could have spoken in that.
Right, that was the talk then, right?
Yes, because she spoke six languages, but not.
I think she probably does. Listen, she's Slovenian, right? She speaks all those languages. I bet you she's got. Since I don't know, Violetta, you're our Balkan representative here. Is Slovenian a Slavic language?
Yes, it is.
Okay.
And, I mean, she can probably pick up on Russian, but without question. Right.
Yeah, without question, she could pick up on
She's
Russian.
Probably not fluent,
but she could figure it out.
Major words,
right.
Stick out in the conversation.
Yes, I think she could probably figure the thing out. And I'll bet
the important words.
She speaks it, but that they don't want to put that in her bio. Right now, that's not
too close to home.
Yeah. Let's not mention that. She speaks a bunch of languages. I don't know. Don't worry about it. Which ones? I don't know. Oh, God. How did we find ourselves here? Well, you know how we found ourselves here?
Hmm.
I think the other thing that we have learned here, you know, with the whole Hillary thing, with the guy that was,
campaign worker
was their religious advisor. You know, I always worry about these religious advisors who were, trying to play tonsil hockey with the interns. But you know, the guy was like giving back rubs and kissing on foreheads and saying inappropriate things, and then she's like, oh, you know, let the guy go and all that. I think what we've learned here is that would have been a mess too if she had won. That there would have been just a raft of things. If we're going to have a mess here in 2016, 17, and 18, 19, then here we are. I mean, we can't have a bigger mess. The whole thing, I think this is a wake-up call to America that we need to take our democracy more seriously, and we need to take protecting the idea of the grander idea of America. As Lindsey Graham said, America isn't a race of people. It isn't two political parties. It's an idea. And maybe we need to really kind of wrap our brains around that and move forward from that point forward. Mm-hmm. And we can put the Trumps and the Clintons and all the rest behind and elect a Kennedy in 2020, apparently, which is what they tried to, what the Kennedys tried to do to us last night. The kid who was drooling on himself.
The ginger haired one.
The ginger Kennedy with the saliva problem.
Chapstick problem.
I totally forgave him that. Yeah, I thought it was chapstick. It was shiny.
He said on Good Morning America.
It wasn't slimy. It was shiny.
He didn't do the chapstick this morning. He went without it.
Yeah, and that apparently ruined it for guys. I was still captivated.
At some point, he wiped it off or something happened because it was just disappeared, right?
No, or did he turn his head?
Let's go in a different direction in America, and let's elect a Kennedy to president of the United States.
Yeah, let's go there.
Oh, God. All right, here we go. Right now, why don't you tell us, Judy, what's coming up at the bottom of the hour? Yeah, it's the Rokan Show with Anna DeVlantis right here on 720 WGN.
Anybody upset about the Carsons going away? A couple of them?
Ribs or stores?
The stores.
Oh, are you serious? I'm all about the Yellow Dot clearance. Great deals. I just got a 20% coupon. I'm going to go there tomorrow.
The one in Schaumburg is really nice.
What about Mount Prospect?
That one? Yeah, the streets of Schaumburg. Woodfield, yes, the streets of Woodfield.
Stores. Son of a...
Aurora, Danville, DeKalb, Morton Grove, Peoria, Schaumburg. And Aurora.
Not Mount Prospect? Did I hear
Mount
Prospect?
We said Aurora already.
Okay, good.
Oh, my God.
There's one in Chicago, too.
Oh, right. Riverside, I think.
Oh, okay, yeah. Riverside.
Yeah, because the
Riverside
Carson's,
Plaza, they call it.
The Carson building, they sold that years ago. And that's like a think tank, internet incubator thingy deal, right? Isn't that what's going on in the Carson
incubator?
Building?
Where is it?
On State Street?
Carson Perry Scott on State Street.
I thought that's a Target.
But upstairs, it's like an incubator.
Mm. Yeah.
That's where they take baby millennials and they grow them into eggheads.
Oh.
This is what Governor Rauner was talking about in his State of the State. Yeah. Just waiting. They're just waiting to hatch.
Yep.
We're hoping to get Amazon.
Right.
That's going to be where the hatchlings will go.
By the way, I think as I was reading over the last couple of weeks, I don't think we're going to get Amazon.
Why do you think that?
I thought we were
a top contender. We made the top 20.
Yeah, but I think we're like 18 out of 20. I don't think we're going to crawl up to the top here.
We never get anything.
No.
I think it's more the site, though, right?
I think Austin, Texas, and Columbus, Ohio are your, I believe
Columbus,
it or not.
Columbus, Ohio. Yeah.
Columbus,
what
Ohio.
What do they have?
Columbus
we
gets
don't.
Everything good. When fast food companies try out new items on their menu, they always go to Columbus.
Columbus is the logistics capital of the country.
So
that's the issue.
Basically perfect for that.
Yeah, that's, I mean, that's, they have, you know, it was the idea, like the Limited and Victoria's Secret and all of that is all based in Columbus.
Let's go buy some real estate down there. Yeah. Can you spot us? Thanks.
I could, and I know exactly where to buy it, too.
Okay,
I'm ready
perfect.
To go.
Yeah.
Just buy Kevin a warehouse.
Yeah.
That's all he wants.
Just one or two. It's a big deal.
I think you're going to be surprised when it all comes out here. It's going to be, I think, one of those two towns.
Atlanta is one of the favorites as well, according to some of the people
who
analyze
if they
the
want
data.
Logistics, okay, but if they want a cool city...
Yeah.
That's
true.
Hello,
we're here.
That's right.
So I think it's, I think we're not going to get the HQ too.
We're one of the cities that has it all.
We do have it all.
Maybe we'll get the third one, the third headquarter in like 40 years.
There are other companies.
Like Carson's.
Carson's. Hey, Carson's, what do you guys want to do?
Yeah, we'll have a lot more sites now. Yeah, they can go. Some buildings available.
You want to close? Because of Amazon, Carson's has to close, essentially, is how that worked.
So it would only be fitting that they would move in there, the old stores.
You know, Amazon has their own clothing line, essentially, now. Like, they'll offer you, like, a V-neck sweater or whatever, like, when they offer you options. Not cheap. Not cheap at all. Amazon's trying to turn into some like big fancy brand to like sell clothes to everyone.
It's like the Costco brand of clothing.
Yeah, but it's more expensive than that. It's way more. I thought it was going to be some good deals you can get at like, I don't know, warehouse type store, but it's not.
I'm addicted.
Pricey stuff.
I've never bought anything from Amazon.
I'm addicted because I'm looking. I'm like, I look at my phone and I'm reading a news story, and then all of a sudden,
so
some pretty pair of Adidas pops up, and I just click on it and I order them, and they show up.
And they're over there like right the next day before you even think about that you ordered them.
I always fill up a cart, you know, on the websites, and then I feel like I bought it, but I never did. I just like touching stuff, you know. In the store.
Yeah, but like if you know, I mean, you have to touch toothpaste every time you buy it. I can buy in bulk on Amazon for way much cheaper, and it shows up, and you can regularly schedule it if you even want to.
Yeah,
really, you buy toothpaste on Amazon?
Oh yeah, that's the stuff I buy, like clothing and stuff. Yeah, I really hate buying online, but
I'm with him.
I mean, toothpaste. What do you shop around and test out the toothpaste?
Yeah,
but I get it. I mean, I get people like going to stores, but some of these stores, like,
I take a nice Saturday afternoon, get a cup of
coffee. Who needs that?
And it's,
when you get married and you're going to drag your husband to sit in the idiot chair while you're trying crap on. I mean, who needs that? Who needs that?
I definitely don't need that. Don't follow me around when I'm shopping. I hate that. Bring down my neck over there.
But there are things you know for sure what you're going to get.
Toothpaste. Just give me your credit card and go.
You know, deodorant. You're not going to try that stuff out at the store. I totally get clothing and things like that.
Let's see here. Let me tell you things I've ordered from Amazon.
Okay, just filter it, please.
Just in the
look it over before you read it out loud.
I'm just going to go through it. I got, let's see, I got a pair of Adidas that were delivered on Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
I have a voltage converter, a Samsung TV.
A TV?
A power adapter, a grill.
Cover?
Don't tell me. No.
A tooth grill? Like for your teeth?
No.
Like the,
it's a,
the wrapper thing?
It's a thing. It's
rotisserie?
It's the rotisserie stick.
Wow, you got one of those?
I had to get one of those because mine broke, so I had to get a rotisserie stick.
Well, it sounds like things you wouldn't know where to go find them.
I got hair wax. I got, sunglasses. I got another.
This is getting personal.
I got another pair of Adidas. I got a video
another
mount.
Another pair of Adidas?
Okay, yeah. You might have a problem.
Yes.
I got, yeah, no. I've, I,
we need an intervention.
By the way, I got to tell you something. On the Adidas front, I'm on some sort of a weird kind of addicted thing because I not only buy them from Amazon, I also buy them from the Adidas website.
Mm-hmm.
And I just like every hour on the hour, there's another box of Adidas showing up.
I feel like
I'm Imelda Marcos of Adidas.
I feel like if we just flash a picture of something up at you, you'll buy it.
Are you impulsive like that? Only with the Adidas?
Only with
yeah,
the Adidas.
It's coming on the side. You know, he's on the computer and it just pops up and he buys it.
Yeah. I got, let's see, Atkins shakes. Hold on. I've been buying those. I got espresso pods for my Nespresso. I got, I have a pair of sunglasses that I returned.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see. I got.
I feel like I can sneak some stuff in there and you wouldn't even notice.
That's probably true. I got LED lighting that I bought.
Do you ever go to the store?
No.
You never go to
a
store.
See, I enjoy going to a store.
Maybe it's a girl thing.
I do, too. I enjoy the
whole food,
it's shopping
water. I got
experience.
Things, big bottles of water.
Water?
Yeah.
Doesn't water come out of your fridge? Come on.
How about your faucet?
We
live in Chicago.
I believe
in
Michigan
water.
Nobody drinks out of their faucet
We have Lake Michigan water. It's the best.
Yeah, it's really not that great.
Wow.
I'm glad we have it,
but
it's not that, because it tastes like the gunk that's in it that they put in it to keep the poo out of it.
Plus, it's not cold.
Well, I did this.
Mm-hmm.
Have you ever been down to Olive Park, to the big, you know, where they clean the water?
The water
treatment facility? Mm-hmm. Do you see what's going on? The stuff that's coming in and how they get the toilet paper out of it? Have you seen that?
I have.
At least they use toilet paper.
Nobody gets sick from the water.
No, I know.
Good.
I know nobody
gets
sick from
it. Right, but you could have better.
And we pay a lot for water.
We do?
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, Ro pays
you
even
don't,
more.
You don't know. Because you don't pay the bills. You don't do anything.
Yeah. That'd be, and we pay because we have a good water supply and water source.
We're very lucky in that way.
Don't ruin it for me,
listen,
Ro.
Listen, it's great. I'm glad that we have the big lake here. It's really good for everything. It's one of the great things that we have. But that doesn't stop me from having the big
fancy bottled water. Yeah, someone's got to buy the fancy water.
Yeah. Might as well be me. And I use it to make the coffee.
Oh, you don't.
In your Adidas shoes.
While I'm wearing my Adidas shoes,
That's too far.
You pour it into your Nespresso
Watching
maker?
Your new Samsung.
I do. Well, yes.
Oh, boy.
Did you get a good deal on that? Because this is the best week to buy a TV.
I got to tell you something. The deal I got on the Samsungs, I changed a bunch of TVs at,
You're wearing out your TVs with all the
On the Amazon.
Coverage?
Yeah, I just keep the TVs on at all times. Because I live alone. I don't want to be alone. So the TV's on. It talks to me. It's my
so
friend.
So they burn out or something?
Right. So my friend Anderson.
Come to the room and say hi to everyone.
Yeah.
Hey, dude.
What was that, Anderson?
Anderson.
I'm busy.
Coming.
Hold on.
I'm coming. Is dinner ready?
Dinner's ready. Why does he never come when it's ready?
Shaken or stirred.
Two martinis coming right up.
I feel sorry for you.
Now Chris Cuomo's ruining my night.
Because he's on at night now.
Because he's on at night yelling at me now. And I don't need that. I don't need him like, and now we're going to get at it. Let's get at it. Here's the man. I'm like, come on, relax. He's having way too much coffee because he's got to stay up late to do the thing.
Yeah, that's a long day.
Yeah, and it's like, and it's sort of like, here's Kellyanne Conway. You're the woman. Let's talk.
He does
seem
annoyed.
Get it on.
He seems annoyed by everyone.
I know, and I'm like, I don't want it. It's too late for that. I want Anderson to come back and be smug and just sort of sit back and look at me funny. That's the way. That's what I was used to.
He doesn't have Anderson doesn't have the combative style.
Right, and then
Chris
there's
Cuomo.
Van Jones always screaming about how what an idiot Donald Trump is, and then there's some fat white guy. Fill him in. I don't know which way. There's 100 of them they got at CNN. They're telling me how great Donald Trump is.
Some fat white guy?
There's always a fat white guy telling me. There's always a guy. That
in suspenders.
Right, like a middle-aged fat white guy who tells me. They have like a casting couch for middle-aged white guys who have weight issues. I'm among them that are there to tell me how great Donald Trump is. That's what they got.
And you don't talk to him?
I don't know. I'm afraid they're going to eat my dinner. That's what I'm afraid of. All right, listen, we got offered. We have to have a veto, we have to have a vote here on this right before
show
we
pet?
Get out of the way.
No.
On the show pet.
No,
we really hold on.
No.
I got to pitch this. I got to pitch this. Here we go. It is as I mentioned earlier. This is what we've been offered today as our show pet, and it comes from a lovely home. I know these people. They are a household name.
Okay,
that's unfortunate, and I'm not going to use their household name. But they have Bonnie the tortoise.
Mm-hmm.
Bonnie was a $200 item at a pet store. Now they can't wait to get rid of her.
That's a warning sign.
She is. She comes with a clear cage. They'll dress up the clear cage for us to put it in the window here at WGN. I don't think we're going to be moving this tortoise back and forth.
The potty train?
It eats lettuce, strawberry stems, and it's got a potty tub that it goes into to go to the bathroom inside the cage.
It knows to do that?
Apparently.
That's pretty cool.
It likes to go in the water.
Ew.
Who doesn't? I like to go in the shower, but that's a separate issue.
All right, moving on.
Thanks
to the tortoise.
For sharing.
Yeah,
so do I.
They dress up this tortoise.
Like we can spray paint its shell or
like
what?
Outfits.
You put little
they
like
put, like,
capes
little
on it or
stuff like that.
Little princess capes.
Dress her up in little sweaters
for
and
different
pom-poms.
Holidays?
Yeah,
a turtle, a tortoise.
Make a little cheerleader.
Mm-hmm.
How big is it?
It's about the size of a football.
Wow, that's pretty big.
Yeah.
I was thinking bigger.
A little bit bigger than a football. Sort of some like an
NFL size football.
Yeah, but bigger than like you know, those old
like Tom Brady's football.
No, bigger
I
than
knew
Tom's
that would come up. So not a deflated
overinflated.
Football.
Overinflated. Overinflated Tom Brady football, yeah.
Oh.
All right.
Unbelievable.
I'm all in if I don't have to do anything and Violetta has to take care of it.
Now, what do you think, Violetta? Because you're going to be in charge.
Yeah,
I'm willing to take on this responsibility, but I would like a test run with the tortoise.
Also, where are we going to keep this thing?
Yeah, I know, because they're not going to let us
issue.
Keep it. At, yeah. Like, they won't
and
let us keep it down
cruel
here.
It's to just keep it in like Violetta's spot
trunk,
because there's
yeah.
I mean, it needs sun, and we have good windows in the newsroom, but I don't think it'll go over.
Maybe sun. Oh my God, we could put it in the newsroom in like a window, and then find out that you can't leave it in the sun, and it'll be just like
Gidget.
John Fox's monkey.
We can rename it Gidget.
Oh,
I think any pet we get, we should name Gidget anyway.
We could put it in one of the production studios or Studio
God.
A.
This is so sad. You people are irresponsible.
It'd be fun to put like maybe a GoPro on the turtle and just let it go throughout the studios and see what it does.
I don't think it's a tortoise. I don't think it's going to do very much.
Yeah, but people will interact.
It's kind of a low
it.
Angle too.
Yeah.
We'll face it up.
What if it escapes and gets into the river?
It's going to get it's going to get swept up
and
by the
changes the entire ecology of the river.
I think
an invasive
chances
species
are it will die.
Yeah.
That will be some great footage though on the GoPro.
We could take it to the beach in the warmer months.
That's a tortoise cam. We could put a camera on the shell.
That's what I've been talking about.
That's what she's saying.
24-hour-a-day tortoise cam.
Except that's kind of like the tortoise would see up your skirt if it was, you know, moving through the hallways.
Well, oh, think of the views.
Yeah.
We could sell it and get a sponsor.
Yeah. Yeah. Maybe
Victoria's Secret.
Maybe Carson's, you know, for their underwear sales. Something like that.
Amazon.
Too soon, damn it. All right.
Tortoises live like between 50 and 100 years.
Okay.
Well, we'll pass it down.
Well, it's going to outlive me. All right, here is. Can you?
So, are we saying yes or no? We're
going
to have
I'm
going to
say maybe a
this?
Strong maybe right okay. now on this
strong maybe.
Violetta, you want to do the WGN traffic trouble spots?